I'm going to tell you a few stories. All we have to do is listen.
Welcome to another movie podcast, a show that questions their own cyborg identities, but are remarkable at sewing buttons onto things. I am Oscar. With me today is, across the state lines of wherever the fuck you are.
I'm in Colorado right now. I'm still in Colorado.
And at least you said state lines and not oceans.
Yeah, right. I'm narrowing it down. I think by the time he gets back, I'll have it narrowed
you
down.
You are.
And so that's Luke somewhere. And then you are?
Ralph.
Hello. This is episode number 20. Lucky 20? No, that's nothing with that. Today's show, we will be reviewing three films as usual. We'll be continuing our animation... Funimation? No, just animation marathon with Coraline, the American stop-motion animated film. And then we'll continue with the latest rendition of the Power Rangers films currently in theaters. And even more recently, we're reviewing this week's new release film, Ghost in the Shell, with Scarlett Johansson. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Otherpodcast.com is a website where we can find everything on our marathons, our bonus episodes, our top 10 list that we've done, and every current episode we'll ever do, as well as our calendar. I think I'm going to add a calendar thing onto it, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, because everyone keeps asking, what the fuck are you going to do next? I mean, I don't know. You can follow the show itself on Twitter, at PodMovieCast, and all this stuff is on every show that you download for us.
So you're going to add an empty calendar?
No. No, it's just that I always say, like, fuck off, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But I do know. And
okay.
Do know.
Because the way you said it, it's just like, I don't know.
I just don't want people bothering
the calendar.
Me. Like, stop bothering me.
Okay.
Yeah, essentially. So let's talk about what we've been watching.
I'm going to go sleep.
You're going to go sleep for a while, Ralph? Because he has nothing.
I was sick last week.
Right. I'm going to... I'll start off here. I saw the Lego Batman movie. On a whim, I was just I was bored. I was like, "There's still showings for this movie," so I saw it. It was like $5 holler.
Catchphrase,
right? Catchphrase, yeah. Pew 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 pew. Have you seen this look? I don't know, Ralph has.
No, I have not.
Is it over there? Did you guys get it over there?
We had it, but it was very short lived.
Short run,
maybe here. Like,
well, if you ever
like
get to watch
weeks.
It, I super highly recommend this. Right now, it stands as like my number one or two of the year so far. That movie was really funny. And I think that some of the complaints I've heard, and this is like far afield as far as what the movie's actually about, but it's kind of like a sister to the Lego movie. It's not a sequel. It's like a spinoff. And,
right.
But it takes place in the same universe, kind of, you know? And
yeah, like Frasier and Cheers.
Like Frasier and Cheers, exactly. And... And it is so inventive, but I think it's better than the Lego Batman movie. I mean, the Lego movie, sorry, fuck. It's because the Lego movie is from scratch, and it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong, I liked it a lot. And that song is still stuck in my head sometimes. I'll sing it to myself. Like, why am I singing this song? But the Lego Batman movie is better for me because I grew up watching all of these Batman movies, even the show or the animated features or the animated show and some of the recent stuff that's been going on with The Dark Knight and, God forbid, Snyder. And I think that this movie has so many references and puns and jokes, like a mile a minute. Every second is a joke in this fucking movie.
That's actually one of my favorite scenes of the movie when they like they recap what he's done as Batman and
right.
They show all the other stuff. Yeah.
And what is it called? Murder Alley when the parents or something?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Or something like that. It's actually has a good story. Ask really good questions that everyone should have been asking about Batman a long time ago in the movies, but they never do. Like... Why don't you ever catch anyone? Or, like, haven't you noticed that crime is still pretty shitty? Actually worse since he started vigilanteing? You know, it's really interesting. And it paints Batman in a very brutal light, but also in a funny way because it's doing it brutally. I think it's great. And I think because of the pop culture references of Batman versus the Lego Batman, the Lego movie, fuck. Which doesn't have any, I mean, references kind of like a scattershot of a bunch of things. I think it works better for me because I just grew up on Batman. So I think if you are anywhere near a Batman fan, or even if you hate them, you want to see a teardown of Bruce Wayne. This is the one. This is the movie for that. So I recommend it highly. It's for kids and adults, everybody. Great movie. My other film here I got is a movie called I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. Anyone heard of it? Say no in unison.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have heard of it. Luke?
What was it again?
The title is I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
No, I never heard of it.
Okay. Ralph, good things?
I know nothing about it. I heard to watch it, though.
Right. This is the movie. It's like it won the jury prize at the Sundance this year, and it's already out on Netflix. So it was out on Netflix a week after. Netflix bought the movie straight up Sundance.
Right.
And put it on their Netflix domain. And I saw it, and it's directed by Megan Blair, the lead actor in Jeremy Sonnier's Blue Ruin, the main guy from that movie. Like, I think he developed enough cred or whatever to get the juice to direct his own movie. I think he always wanted to be a film director. I didn't hear his interview, which I have, like, queued up in my podcasting and stuff, but I imagine that he'll mention that because I think I heard him say that before. And this is his directorial debut, and it's very much like in the same vein of, like, a goofball breakdown of a crime story. It is a crime story about this woman who gets her home robbed, and she wants, not like vengeance per se, she wants just someone to apologize and not be dicks. Like, she just wants a world free of douchebags, and, like, decides to take it upon herself, her and this weird neighbor played by, what's that Lord of the Rings dude, the Frodo? The fuck is his name?
Yes.
That dude. Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and, like, find themselves in, like, weird goofball slapstick violence that gets pretty hardcore sometimes and also pretty dark as well. And it's similar to Blue Ruin, but also very different. It doesn't have, like, a general theme. It's just, like, these characters moving in this world trying to make sense of their world. And that's why the title fits so well, even though it's very fucking long. So I liked it. If you guys have Netflix, which I'm sure everyone does, I think it's part of the thing. You have to have insurance, car insurance, home insurance, and Netflix in order to survive in this world. So I recommend this movie. It's called, once again, because I know it's long, I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. Now we move on to Roth. What have you been watching, sir? Anything? Probably nothing.
No. I haven't been watching anything. But I did see my son throw a shoe at a lady at McDonald's today.
Today? His own shoe? Or her shoe?
Today. No, their kid's shoe.
Oh, wait. The lady's kid's shoe?
He grabbed the random shoe on the floor, and he threw it at the table where this lady was sitting.
Oh, nice.
And
how was that for you?
Embarrassed the crap out of me. At the same time, I wanted to laugh so hard, but I walked away.
Was it a comical thing? Like, did she react comically?
Yeah, she reacted like she was about to get really mad at Leo, but she's like, oh, he's like a fucking baby.
He's a toddler. I can totally take him.
Right, exactly.
Oh, but embarrassing, though? You have to apologize like 50 times or something?
No, just once.
Okay, cool. So that's his entertainment. Luke, what have you been watching?
Oh, man. I've been on a small documentary kick. So first, the one I watched is, I'm going to go in chronological order when they came out. Atari Game Over is a 2014 documentary. It pretty much talks about the start of Atari, and it goes all the way up to the video game crash of 1983.
Was there a crash in 1983 or 93?
Yes, 83.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Yeah, it talks about, like, a very oversimplified version of the actual downfall of Atari. It talks about the infamous E.T. video game that was so horrible, and everyone claims it's the reason Atari went to shit. And then it also goes into today, or back in 2014, where they were actually trying to excavate the landfill that they dumped all of those, you know, supposedly millions of copies of the E.T. video game.
Well, it was, they're building something in that area. Wasn't that the case?
No, it's a garbage dump. It took them, like, forever. It was, like, a lot of red tape they had to go through, because apparently they said they might have put, like, some, like, infected pigs on top of it, so there was, like, horrible stuff, or, like, mercury deposits down there.
What?
But eventually they did get a permit to excavate for one day.
Is this the beginning of Steven Soderbergh's infection movie or whatever it's called?
No, it's not.
What's it called? Antigion? We kept making fun of the name.
Contagion.
Contagion. Contagion. Sorry, continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good documentary. I mean, for some reason, they showed George R.R. Martin for like 3 seconds and they put him in the cast.
Dude, he'll do anything to not write his book. He's such a fucking protagonist.
Well, no. The reason he's in there is because Ernest Cline, the author of Ready Player One and Armada, he's a big fan of that stuff, so he actually had to go pick up his DeLorean from George R.R. Martin and drive down to the excavation site.
Oh, okay, so just two general, yeah, like, literature icons fucking around is what they're doing.
Yeah. And then they also had Howard Scott Warshaw. He was the guy who actually made the E.T. video game in 5 weeks.
Explains the value. You
know, well, yeah, but he was like the best programmer, and Spielberg signed off on and said, hey, I like this game, we're going to go with it. So.
Right. But Spielberg can barely use email still, so.
Right. I mean, hey, they really wanted to make that budget, that Christmas timeline, you know.
Yeah, so, apparently money and pressure. So what's the next movie you got on here?
All right. So the next documentary is called The Propaganda Game. It is a Spanish from Spain.
We know what Spanish means.
Well, we do, but most people wouldn't, actually. A lot, right, of people would assume you're just talking about the language, not the country. Yeah. I know that. I know Raf, you and I know, but... And Luke.
It's a documentary about North Korea.
What the fuck?
And
where's the Spain? Basically,
what?
Where's the Spain?
Because Spain can go in there, and Americans can't.
Oh. Okay, I'm with you now. Continue, sorry.
So basically, this guy, they go into North Korea, and they meet this actual Spanish guy who lives in North Korea, and he's part of, like, their government because he loves North Korea so much. And they're basically trying to tell you, like, North Korea is still great, contrary to what propaganda the rest of the world, you know, tries to throw out there, because there's so little information coming out of North Korea that whatever little thing that they can get their hands on is spun in a negative way.
You mean that's his argument, or is that the point of the movie?
That's what they're trying to tell you in the documentary, like the people in North Korea. Mm-hmm. But you kind of can tell yourself, like, I don't think it's really that true. I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing, because, like, you have this guy who lived in Spain, completely got up, went to North Korea and said, you guys are doing it right, and I want to be here with you.
Do they interview him mainly? Or only?
Him and other people.
Other people in government or other people just like civilians?
Civilians, obviously, but though how it's very regulated is what they can talk about, so.
Right. Well, I mean, they're told to also talk, or from what we know, they're told to talk like good things about their country.
Right, what to say and
you know,
how to say
amazing
it.
Their poopless, you know, person is. To the poop.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they also mentioned things like how...
King, whatever.
the unicorn was found in North Korea.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, documentary, so...
Has anyone seen Dogtooth? Remember that movie? Anybody?
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Luke? No.
No, I have not.
I'm not going to get into the movie per se, but anyone who will get this reference might understand where I'm coming from. It feels like North Korea is an experimental Dogtooth. That's what it fucking is. I feel like they're just lying and everyone's going to believe them. Lamp is really a vampire. I don't, you know, this is weird.
Could be.
Do you get what I'm saying, Ralph?
Yeah, I get where you're going.
Yeah, what am I now? All right. So is that good? Was that a good movie? Compelling? What?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it was that good.
It's interesting.
Okay.
I don't know. Definitely worth a shot. To watch. I mean, hey, check it out.
I think I saw that movie on Mubi, M-U-B-I, once. Sounds familiar. There was a North Korean documentary movie on there a month ago, and I missed out on it, but it might have been that one. Anyway, So what movie was that called? The Propaganda Game, right?
The Propaganda Game, yeah.
All right, what's your last movie?
Well, I also saw O.J. Made in America, but you won't let me talk about it. But it was great.
Because we all fucking talked about it. Everyone on the planet has already talked about it.
Yeah, we know it was great. Right. It won a fucking Academy Award.
Right. I would fuck that movie if I could. That's how good it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't borrow your copy.
The other movie I saw, because we finally got it on Redbox here, was Passengers.
How was that?
Yes, and?
Yeah, we're waiting.
You guys didn't like this movie, did you?
We haven't seen it. I avoided it. It looks like a piece of shit.
You haven't seen it?
No.
No.
Both of you?
Yeah, right. Both of us.
Oh, it's pretty okay.
It's at my local Redbox too, and it stayed there.
It's staying there. Well.
I didn't think it was that bad of a movie. I thought it was actually pretty decent and watchable.
Well, if you go in there after knowing that everyone said it was shit, then yeah, it's going to be better than that. All right, well, give us a skinny, because I hear that the trailers are really misleading. So, without spoiling anything, what okay, is this?
See,
what the hell's going on?
Boil it. So, I forget their names already, but Chris Pratt's character.
Pratt and J-Law.
Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. So, Pratt wakes up. Jennifer Lawrence wakes up. He's a mechanic. She's a writer. They fall in love. There's damage to the ship that caused the Chris Pratt's pod to actually mess up. So that's the reason he's out there. And then eventually one of the crew members wakes up as well. But because his pod was in like such horrible shape for so long, he's actually like dying on the inside. And they have to repair the ship in order for the rest of the people to actually make it to where they have to get there. And they would just have to kind of suffer their fate.
Fate of, like, getting old, you mean?
And dying.
Well, yeah. So it seems like, you know the Interstellar finale where they all find a civilization on the belt and humanity is able to rush over there and survive, right? It feels like this is one of the ships that went there, and Passengers is the movie, like one ship that got fucked up a bit on the way there.
Right.
So, I mean, sounds pretty standard to me. I don't... But
Stanford, you know, standard popcorn flick, sci-fi action, but overall, yeah, not that bad.
If it's on Netflix one day, maybe I'll watch it, but...
Right.
Yeah. Ruff, are you any more interested? No.
And,
Are you really going to put... Are you going to drop another movie when I said that only three to you? Fine, drop it.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, go ahead.
The live action Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, not the 1981
theater. No. It was the only thing available in the theater aside from Kong Skull Island,
which I heard is great. Like good action.
I don't know about that.
Not like good action. I mean, not like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, that was a very like scene for scene from what I recall. It's like, hey, we're just gonna literally take scene for scene and read the whole thing in live action.
Well, yeah.
That's what I heard. That's why I don't want to see it.
Give it a shot.
No, I don't want a remake of anything. Who
it
wants that?
It seems a little bit darker. Does
the only
help?
Man who it's can do bit... that is Michael Haneke, who did the German Funny Games. We did his own movie in English called Funny Games, almost shot for shot.
I remember
But he
that.
Did it as an experiment. Like, only he can do that. No one else. You know?
All right.
Anyway, no, that's cool. I mean, I'll watch it, like, you know, when I die or something, but, like, not anytime soon. I barely even remember the original. But you liked it, right? So, I mean, nothing... Well, the effects great? I mean, I love... The guy who plays the Beast is the lead guy in Legion, so he's amazing. I love that guy. Stevens, that dude, Stevens
guy?
I
don't know. I haven't seen Legion yet.
Oh, dude, you're missing out. Watch that show. Have you seen it, Rob?
I know. I think I need to ask Rob for his, like...
No.
Log in so I
can... What is everybody asking me for things?
Hey, Ralph, can you be my friend? And then, you know, like, if you know people, you're going to ask you for things, Ralph, when you want.
Yeah, I guess.
Be like Luke, go to fucking Colorado or Alaska or something. Right?
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. Exactly. That's what we've been watching, like, 50 years ago. I was going to do the segment about this animation stuff, but I think I'm going to save it to the end of the show, just because I want to get to the review now. Let's start with... let's begin with our continuation marathon, our number two film of the animation marathon, Coraline.
Mom? What are you doing here in the middle of the night?
You're just in time for supper, dear.
You're not my mother. My mother doesn't have...
Buttons? Do you like them? I'm your other mother, silly. Now go tell your other father that supper's ready. Well, go on.
He's in his study.
Coraline.
All right, Luke, can you read the thing?
Just
for
like
us?
I want to lose my mind.
What thing?
I mean, this is your movie. So I figured you could read
synopsis.
What the synopsis is.
Was it one of mine? I totally forgot what I chose.
Oh my God. I didn't think I had to tell you guys that.
Guys,
of all the things, I didn't think I had to tell you.
I just need to tell everybody. It's Caroline, and they missed that.
They missed it, went along with it, okay. And they made posters and everything. Yeah.
So, Coraline is an adventurous girl finds another world that is strangely idealized. Is a strangely idealized version of her frustrating home, but it has sinister secrets.
Thanks for that last thing.
You emphasized the role.
So, this is a movie you have not seen, correct?
Nope. First time seeing it.
Now, Roth and
I've owned it.
Have you seen it, Roth?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I know you owned it. You bought that 3-pack, right, with Kubo?
4-pack.
4-pack.
Yeah, with Paranorman.
What was the other one?
Kubo. Box Trolls.
Box Trolls, that's right. I never saw that one. Anyway, this is made by the same company that made those films.
Yeah,
Claymations
Are
Us.
Leica. Yeah, this is a pretty prestigious, famous, like, not. I mean, I'm not going to say indie, because compared to Disney and Pixar, everything is indie, right? But they're indie to them, and they're like this company that are getting quite a lot on the ride over the years. They take a lot of years to make a film. It takes forever to make stop motion, guys. This is why it's such an ordeal. This is, by the way, I'm going to reference our own show here. Episode number 3, we reviewed 3 animated films, and one of them was Kubo and the Two Strings, which is another, you know, the more recent one of this type. And I'm just going to put out there that if you are interested in seeing more animation stuff from us, hear that review. But anyway, Luke, let's get down to the brass tacks. What did you think of Coraline in as a first impression deal?
I actually liked it. It was a good movie, good story. I felt the animation was a little choppy. You got to, you know, crunch up that CGI machine.
There was no CGI machine. There was not. That's the whole point.
I know. I just wanted to say that. No, it was actually surprisingly really amazing.
It feels like
I kind of want to know what was added, like CGI, and what wasn't, because not everything could have been like stop motion.
I don't know. I think you'd be surprised. Like, I know that Kubo has some stuff for sure, but it was obvious when we watched it. I don't remember seeing anything super obvious. This is my third time watching Coraline. But I never had that concern going in, so I didn't really pay attention to look for it. But yeah.
What about the fog? Because there was a thing with the fog. How are you going to stop motion
fucking
fog?
Crumpled paper. I don't know what the fuck.
No, that's one thing.
Maybe that could be one thing. Yeah, the weather, the background. But not the background, because the background is also built.
Right.
I mean, they're basically staging mini houses and shit.
It's
interesting. And I find this animation style very, very weird. Like, you not only have to be in love and have the motivation and the drive to be an animator, but also, like, the worst kind of animator. Like, the kind that takes you 7 hours for 1 minute, or not even. You know, it's painstaking work. I just want to say that I love this movie.
It's like photoshopping a picture every time and, like, just making it.
Right.
Right, that's what it is.
Yeah, and for every frame.
So however long it takes to Photoshop each picture.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And that to, what, 90 minutes or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this movie's not that long either. I mean, they were like, thank God it's so short. but I actually like how short it is. Actually, it moves very smoothly to me. I haven't seen it in a while. I saw it when it first came out, and maybe the year after, which was, what, 2005 or something?
No, it came out in 2009.
2009, sorry. Either way, like the first century there, first decade of this. Anyway, and it's been a while since then, so I haven't seen it in 7 years, and it holds off for me. I loved it again, all over again. I fell in love with it again, so that's my general thing on that. Ruff,
I'll be the negative Nancy here.
Whoa, no. What? Ruff, where's your soul?
I really like this movie. I did like the movie, but I did feel that the pacing in the beginning is just like, you're kind of there immediately, and you're just like, oh, okay. Yeah. So they set you this up with this house or whatever, and someone's just moving in, and then all of a sudden it's just like, we meet this guy, there's a cat, there's this, that, and it just kind of rolls with the punches. And it tells you, because the movie's kind of short, like you said.
Right.
Which is good and bad for me. It makes you appreciate Kubo a lot more, I would say.
Oh, really?
I think so. I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, you could totally tell this is stop motion. Like, and I love the style.
Well, that is a style. Like, you go in there to know that.
It is a style, and I get it. But you could totally tell it's stop motion in comparison to when you're watching Kubo, you're just like, that stop motion? No way.
Right. You're saying that, like, they upped their game.
Right.
Then.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it makes you appreciate
okay,
a lot more.
I'll go with that. Yeah.
That's why I'm all approved. That's what I'm going with. Other than that, yeah, I mean, I liked it when I first saw it. I think I might have liked it a little bit better this time. Just because when I first saw it, I think I was more confused of what was supposed to happen or whatever. Some word was lost in translation, but it worked out in the end for me. I mean, this movie is it's kind of charming, but at the same time, a dark charming, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
That's how I would explain it. I really love Coraline, and I love how she's learned how to. She's a typical girl, or she's a typical kid. She just wants attention, and nobody was willing to give it to her, right? But she's also so used to everyone missaying her name that she doesn't get as frustrated only at, like, certain people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool because she gets it. Like, she'll get more frustrated with certain people because she's like, you should know how painful it is for me to say something about you. Why are you missing my name, you know?
Right.
So that's really interesting because she kind of gives up on some people. She's like, it's whatever, yeah, Caroline. Like,
yeah, sweet Caroline.
Right, exactly.
So, Luke, I'm curious too, besides the animation, what, like, made you... Well, I mean, I don't want to ask what made you pick this movie, because I think over the years I've been kind of hounding you to watch it, so I'm pretty sure, like, other people have told you the same, you should watch Coraline. But, like, besides that, like, yeah. what stuck to you the most in this movie, about this movie or whatever?
I don't know. I mean, it had a pretty decent plot. I mean, it was like a...
I mean, it's a unique plot.
Yeah, sure. But
Unique in the way of like learning to love
like
what you have.
To cope with, like, yeah, and that you know, the
like make something out of what
side.
You have, as opposed to wishing for more or better or different. Or is that what the theme is?
I think it's a mix.
I think it's...
Go ahead, somebody.
Okay, look. I think it's, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, but we need your eyes, and you die.
No, see, the way I see it is, like, you already know the devil you deal with already here. Like you know how to deal with the world.
Oh, the devil
in.
You know message.
So, because it's like, hey.
That's why a lot of people stay in the same job for years.
Well, it's kind of like that. Well, it's also kind of like you complain about your boss. Right?
Right.
And then you're like, oh, my boss sucks. Man, if he just was gone or whatever, it would be way much more better. And then you get a new boss and you're like, this boss is even worse. Right? Like, so.
Guys, he sets fire to things.
Right. Like, right. That's where, that, you know, you already know how to deal with something. You may not like it, but you make good of it, right? And it works out for you. That's how life is. And that's kind of a life message. The grass does look greener over there. And it looks great. But what don't you know about that place?
I think this message is also dark. It's very adult for a kid's film. And by the way, I know that many people would say, is this barely even a kid's film? It is a kid's film for sure.
PG-13.
And I think... No, I'm saying, like, kids watch this movie. It's a normal staple
for
them.
Oh, Leo was loving it, by the way.
Yeah. So I was talking to my friend Jay from the SOS show, and his kids love this movie. They watch it periodically, you know.
Periodically?
Like, you know, not daily, but, like, often.
Sure.
And
quarterly.
Yeah, Coraline. And wait, what?
I said quarterly.
Quarterly.
Quarterly. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Coraline, but you said it weird. I'm like, yeah, Coraline. I don't know what you're doing. You need fucking air bubbles. So I'm like, I was kind of surprised. I'm like, I told him, isn't that fucking dark? He's like, no, man, it's great. I mean, it's, yeah, but it's good. I'm like, okay. I'm like, he loves it too. I'm like, all right, cool. So, what were we on a point? What was the point we're on?
Well, I mean, I guess what's the message of the movie saying?
Oh, right.
And also, the Coraline kind of is this, she's a heroine, for sure.
Junkie.
Yeah. She's definitely our heroine in this movie, and you know she wants to fill herself with purpose or something. I'm pretty sure you both just did the same thing.
Probably. When you said fill her up with something, I'm like, after saying heroin junkie, I'm like imagining a really rusty needle getting in there. Sorry.
Yeah. That being said, so I honestly think she's kind of learning who she wants to become also. And it's like, I don't want to, you know, I want to help these people out because I want to be helped out. And it's kind of like that message where what we tell ourselves is like, you know, treat somebody else how you want to be treated.
Jesus said that.
She does that. JC, yeah. She does that. And it's a really good message because, like, her parents, for example, I think are the complete utter douchebags.
I mean,
especially her
but
mom.
Also, you got to realize that I think a lot of this movie is through her point of view.
For sure.
Like, that house probably isn't as bad. Yeah, they probably has one rat. Maybe not. Maybe it's really a mouse. I don't know if it's a big difference. But the point is that we see her parents, like, busy and not attentioning her because that's how she feels. So, you know, I think there's a sense of the reality of the perspective here going on. Do you agree with that, Luke, and the message that Ralph has been talking about, or no?
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Which one, motherfucker?
All.
The message? Or what I said about Coraline's POV about the world that she's in?
And the heroin she's taking.
And the heroin she's taking.
The yes, all about the heroin. I mean, yeah, I mean, her POV is kind of... I mean, it is the movie, is her POV, so...
Right, so you think that maybe, like, that the reality of this movie, like, the house isn't as bad, the parents aren't as bad, probably? Or no?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much... I mean, then again, it's a new... It's, well, not a new house, but it's a new house to them.
Well,
so,
the reason they can't afford a new house is because they have to keep supporting her daughter's habit.
Well, then again, you know, you don't have any memories in the house. You don't have... Like, her room was pretty bare bones as compared to her other room, which was, like, fully decked out and whatnot.
Yeah, no, and actually, way Oscar's explaining it, I would agree more like that also, where it's like... It is her POV, so everything seems bleak for her, you know, where she is. And what she wants is obviously something, you know, awesome, which is what the other world is, right?
Right, something, you know, where she has cake and shit. And,
right, exactly.
And a she mute gets friend.
And a mute friend. And she gets attention, you know, all that stuff. But I do agree because I think towards the end of the movie, or not towards the end, but the end of the movie, where... The father gets the job and she's like, he's all happy, and then all of a sudden, like, they're getting attention, or
right,
she's getting attention. That just feels like a normal family, and it feels like we've always been a normal family. We've just been busy right now because there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, transition, like, sock,
right? Exactly. It's, I guess if you also look at it, it's kind of like fuck, what's that?
And the mom Pixar? gave her the gloves too.
Right. What's that Pixar movie that just came out?
It's like
the
50
one,
of them.
Inside
Out.
Yeah, Inside Out.
Yeah.
Same
that's
problems.
True. The same exact problem.
Exactly.
Her attic room looked terrible
right
to her.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Because it was also bare bones because you just got there.
They just got there,
of course. And they see a dead mouse, too. Oh, my God, that's very similar. Jesus, they Pixar, you just stole Coraline. Sorry. So I don't actually agree with the entire message of you guys, what you're saying. I think my thing on the message for Coraline is it's a little different. It's more about, fuck, I had it. It's gone. That's gone. It left my mind. I'll think of it again. I had a perfect
when we're reviewing the next movie.
Yeah, probably in the middle of the next review. I'll get on that one. Anyway, like, what was your favorite bits about this movie? Because another thing, one thing is that Coraline is kind of hard to love because she's so abrasive. And,
yeah.
Like, much more than I was, I don't think, as a kid anyway. And she's very abrasive. She's not the most likable heroine. Of any movie, and again, not, most of the characters are not that either. But, like, I mean, the sympathetic is clearly her friend. Oh no, I got what it was. The thing, I got it.
Oh my God,
her friend reminded me. So I think what this movie is showing, at least maybe to kids, or an overall message, is that things that you desire or want to want, has a cost. Because throughout the movie, we're seeing her going through this world, this dimension, whatever. And seeing everything that she wants, but it comes at a price. Like, everything that the fake mother, who is the witch, whatever she is.
Other mother.
Yeah, other mother, the other mother. I know, but she's something, too, you know. She's like...
Beldam or something?
Yeah, yeah. They mentioned some sort of succubus or something.
Spider Queen, yeah.
Yeah, Spider Queen. Spider Queen? I think that everything that she wanted, the Spider Queen was doing in order to rope her in. But everything she was doing to make this Coraline, the original, only one actually, love her, is to do things to other things. Like, she made the dad work for all the gardening that she loved. Like, she made the friend mute. Like, everyone around her is suffering for her benefit, because that's what she wants. And at the end of the movie, it's all torn down because she knows that the price of the buttons she can't pay for, which makes perfect sense because the Bedlam, well, the other mother, wants something in return for all the niceties that she's forcing other people to make for her. Like, I think it's like this this desire thing of wanting things and desiring things and a lifestyle as a cost to it. I think it's about that, kind of, you know? That's my point of view on it. Is that weird?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Does that make sense? You guys get where I'm coming from? Did I explain it okay? I mean, I'm not a wordsmith here. am I? No, I'm not. Anyway, so what was your favorite thing? Like, what's her friend's name?
Something with a W.
Wyburn?
Wyburn?
Yeah, Wyburn.
Wyburn, yeah.
Yeah, why be born, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. So I think he's the most sympathetic, clearly. He's kind of like a dork.
Ain't no kind of.
What did you think of that whole thing with him? Because he has, like, two story things. One, in the other world, where he has, like, his own point of view and stuff. He just can't express them. He's controlled, right? And then in the real world, he has this thing with his grandmother. Grandmother or mother?
Grandmother.
Grandmother.
His grandma.
Yeah, so what do you guys think of that? Because that's the only thing that when I first saw it, threw me off the most, because that's the only aspect that I wasn't paying attention to. Because I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to pay attention to about his grandmother all the time, you know? So what do you guys think of that? Because it kind of leads into the whole thing about the Spider Queen, other mother, taking souls, right? Or taking children. So how do you guys think all that fit in? Was it okay? Was it too rushed? I feel like it was a little too rushed, or not rushed, but it wasn't like properly explored enough or told well, or I don't know. What do you think?
You can take the lead on this.
Luke.
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
I'm getting at YB's.
So, Wyburn?
Wyburn. His arc in the movie.
Okay, so, I mean, I thought he was just there to move the story along, because, especially in the other world, because you could kind of see, like, what was wrong with the other world starting with him. Because, you know, the first time they met, he was cool. Second time, he had his, like, mouth with that smile, because the other mother was like, you have to smile, and then, like, be mute. And then eventually he became, like, I don't know, like, he was, like, hanging, like, off a thing, like a flag or something.
Right, yeah, something like that.
So he was, like, the first indicator that something is wrong with this other world.
So you think he was genuinely a thing that, like, made the mystery, like, lighten up, you know, like, made Coraline see what it was there for? Like, just like...
Yeah, I think and for the other world, yeah. I mean, and the other connection he has with in the original world is, you know, that his grandma had a sister that disappeared in the house.
Right. Which I think that's definitely part of the story, because they background that earlier when he talks about it. That's why the grandma doesn't like him being out too much or too late.
Or going in that house.
Or going in that house, period, right? No, I get that. But in the other world, the other Wyburn, the mute one, was like, seemed to have like a real personality of his own. Seemed like it was Wyburn. Now, it wasn't him, but it was the other Wyburn, right? So, but it felt like he had his own thinking and processes. He was being controlled and enslaved by the other mother. But like...
Well, sort of the father, though.
And the father, too. I mean, by the end, you definitely know that. But, you know, when he's playing the piano and the hands are forcing him to play.
Yeah.
Where at first it was more playful and fun. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then next time you see it, like, no, these hands are, you know, are for slapping him.
Right. And he also felt like he's, like, weakened and everything.
Yeah. I just think that I don't know if they're supposed to be, like, symptoms of the real people that they're trying to personify, or if they're, like, bits of pieces of the actual original people. Because they seem to have their own faculties. And maybe I'm just missing something. Because I know at the end, in order for her to get out of this world and save her parents, right, is to steal... What are the things that she has to find? All the little tokens?
Their eyes or something?
Yeah,
their
it's
soul?
Like their eye.
Yeah, well, this, it seems like the eyes of the kids, right?
Yeah.
That are like peppered throughout the world, right?
Yeah.
And all the boss battling in a game, right?
Basically.
She has to defeat all these bosses and then collect the thing and then use all of those to get out. I just don't know what correlation there is between that and empowering these other persons in the other world to have their own personalities, and it seems like they were there by force too. I don't know. It was really weird. Like, are they being manipulated? Will they be little eyeballs soon? Doesn't seem like they would be. They seem creations, right? They were copies. I just was a little lost on that. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just making too much out of it, but like, it just seemed like something that wasn't really explained to me. And I don't know.
No, now that you talk about it, I agree with you. The thing that I always thought when I recently saw it, is that he's like this, I guess like this seer or this like that oracle person in the movies, where his grandmother has all the knowledge, right? And he's like the deliverer, the messenger.
Mm.
Like, why does she have a doll of her? Like, you know, for example, it's like the premonition person. So he kind of like can go in between both worlds. So there is a doll of him somewhere also, probably. And because there is, his personality is there also, even though he's being controlled, just like Coraline can technically be there, you know?
Okay.
Kind of like that. That's kind of what I went with, because it wasn't explained. You're correct about that. Mm. And I think it's, but I agree with Luke also, where it's just, he's just there to push the story along, honestly. That's what it feels like more. And it does kind of suck because you kind of just have this character for that reason, and they never extrapolate more information. Because they end the movie also with,
because
like,
besides the mother, the other mother, and I guess the original mother, but maybe besides those two characters, which is the same character, feels like, Wyborn is the other lead, right? Is the other supporting.
Or, basically, yeah.
I know Coraline's the lead.
The cat, I guess?
The cat. You know, the cats. What do you guys think about the cat, Luke?
Oh, the cat was kind of cool.
What's it? What you mean? Like, what's his place? Is that what you're asking?
Another thing to push the story along?
No, I mean, the cat felt like fucking witchcraft Salem trials survivor.
Yeah, it felt very ancient Egypt kind of thing, where it's like
right.
Something that, you know, like goes along with death and things like that.
Yeah, what am I thinking of? The Teenage Witch, right? Didn't she have a little black
cat? Yeah, Sabrina and the Teenage Witch.
Sabrina, there you go. I was thinking, what's the name of it? I was going to say Clarissa explains it all, but that's not it at all. It feels like he's one of those. Like, he's like a magic cat that's around this well, that's the source of this power thing, right? Or whatever, of the house. And I don't think that, I mean, they didn't explain him, but there was no explanation for him. He saved the day. I love the scene when she just like instinctually throws the cat him at the face of the Spider Queen.
Yeah,
I mean, like, yeah. Thanks for throwing.
Kind of a dick move.
Kind of a dick move, but she had no other choice, I guess. Here's the most important question for you guys: what color buttons would you choose? Standard black? Is that what you choose?
I go with green.
Apparently, Rob does not approve. Rob?
Half and half, bro. Half and half.
Oh, you're gonna mix it up?
Yeah.
What's your color?
Black and blue. Not one each. Like, half of the button is blue, half of the button.
No, I knew what you meant. Okay, though, although cool. I can maybe
and for random people who thought I'd have one blue and one black.
I mean, that could be cool.
Nah.
No. Like fucking lava red. That's probably me.
Liquid hot.
I want to be able to scare cats for real. You know? I mean, I don't know how you can see through buttons, but whatever. Anything else you guys want to talk about in Coraline? I mean, do we think it's a decent enough? Like, would you show this to a kid? And if not, like, what age would you show it to? What kind of
3-year-old?
What kind of reception would you find this film like in your if you were a kid or a teenager or something watching this movie?
I don't know. I think 6 and up.
Nice.
At that point, they might understand it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the Back to the Future effect probably. Where you get more out of it, generations as you watch it.
Sure, maybe.
Yeah, right. You know, like you watch Back to the Future when you're young, and you're just like, "Ah, man, it's awesome! Time travel and doing all these crazy things," and you know, you're totally on Marty's side, and you get everything, and then you're like, a little bit later, you're like, "Oh, this is still fun, obviously, to watch. And you're like, yeah, but that's like rape. Biff almost raped that guy, right? That girl.
Right. And then she was getting off on it.
Right. And then, the other one. And then,
right after, which she should have gone to the police.
And then when you get to my age, you're just like, man, what kind of story are like the parents have? Like
those parents are fucked up. They,
right.
They have one day difference and their whole lives are...
Right. So
how uncertain are they in their lives?
You know, kind of like that thing.
Maybe. Right.
Because, I mean, look, we pull different messages from this.
Right, yeah, overall.
So, and I think a kid takes, I would say, take probably more my aspect a little bit. And if the person takes your, a kid takes your aspect, yeah, right? Yeah. That'd be great because they're way further along than I am, right? Which makes it awesome. But they take different messages and you get to learn from that. And that's what, you know, something like a movie can do.
Right. And I think this movie also deals with a certain, like, deals with death in a certain way. Like, you know, they kill the rodents. The cat actually saves one of the tokens by killing the rodent that was running away with one of the eyeballs. And other things die. And obviously, the other mother, does she die? She gets crushed out, right? Or just, what happens to her at the end? I forget.
She gets buried in the well.
The well thing.
Buried, that's right. I'm saying, this movie does not shy away from the concept of death. Whereas I feel like a lot of animated films would shy away from that. Now, not really lately, especially lately. Like, you know, even like a more fluffier movie would be like Zootopia. There is a more concept of death there, but even that is downplayed compared to Coraline, which I think takes a much more mature approach for a kid's film on consequences and death and pain.
I think it's in
a way that's very easy to watch still.
Right, but I think it's a perfect thing because I think Coraline's around the age where she should be learning that kind of stuff. She should already kind of start knowing those kind of things.
Right, yeah. I understand,
you know,
that's
good. Like, you're like, hey, like, you're not a little kid anymore. You're starting to get a little bit young, more into the young adulthood. So, like, there's a transition got to be there, you know? I'm not going to hold your hand for everything.
Right. All right, guys. Well, any last thoughts on Caroline?
Coraline.
Right. Luke, you got anything you want to add to or some other favorite thing or aspect? A scene you want to highlight? I don't know.
I picked a great movie.
Okay.
Yeah, you did. I mean, I when you picked it, I'm like, I'm definitely keeping that fucker in the marathon.
My favorite scene is the beginning where she's stitching the doll.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Very foreshadowing of it.
By also the way, very Tim Burton-esque. I felt.
Yeah. Well. Oh. That's a good. Thank you. That's a good way to end the show. But I don't have anything to add except to say that this film was directed. I don't know about written, but it was definitely directed by Henry Selick, the guy who directed A Nightmare Before Christmas. Which now that you've seen Coraline, we're all like, yeah, of course he did, because they're both very similar. What?
Nothing.
What, you hate that movie? You just hate that it's popular. You just hate that everyone loves it so much. It's still a good movie, but you're right. It's overly popular.
Yeah, no, it's a
good movie. I'm with you. That's overly popular.
It's a good movie, but I don't think it's a movie I watch every year.
And handbags and a whole store built out of it. I agree with you, Luke. I know that's what you're pissed about, but that movie's still good. Anyway, I want to say that because I guess a little mini recommendation. Everyone's seen Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't really have to explain that movie or talk about it so much, but I will say that a lot of people believe that Tim Burton directed that movie, but no, it was Henry Selick, Coraline director. Directed the actual Nightmare Before Christmas. A lot of people think that Burton did it. It's like when Steven Spielberg produces something and they all think that he made it. It's not like that.
Directors.
I know. Poor directors, poor producers, poor everyone. Getting shitty credit when that's not...
No, they're probably rich, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but they're probably like, yeah, we're fine. We don't even think about it. Anyway, I just want to put that out there because I know a lot of people get that confused. A lot of people. Like, it's like same way people think... The Anastasia animated film is a Disney movie. Like, no, it's not a Disney movie. Warner Brothers.
It's like some
movie.
Random independent.
Some other, some other company did that movie. Like, no, okay. It didn't. I was arguing with this person. Yeah, that no, look it up right now. Like, no, I won't. Then fuck you. Anyway, I'm just putting it out there. That's my last thoughts.
Tim Burton only wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it. I didn't know that he wrote it. I know him and Danny Elfman did. Danny Elfman, right? He wrote the music.
Him, Michael McDowell. And Caroline Thompson.
Okay, it must have been just the music. But I did not know that many people wrote that movie. Anyway, so that's Coraline. It's out on Netflix if you're interested in watching it. We probably should have said that at the top of the review, but it's fine. We're saying it now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we shall review a much more recent film, but a remake nonetheless. It is Power Rangers. Find out what that's about. Stay with us.
Billy, look at me.
Huh?
Do you feel weird?
You mean like weirder than usual?
Yeah, different.
Oh. Listen. You know, something happened up there, okay? I'm not the same.
Me either. Oh, I'm strong.
How strong?
Like, insanely strong.
I feel like we need to go back up there.
Five wayward teens discover and attain an old power. Inheriting the forces now against them, they must learn to work together in order to save the Earth. It is Power Rangers. It's morphing time, guys. That's what I should have said that. It's motherfucking morphing time. Morphing.
You like morphine?
Yeah, like morphine. Like, you were talking about heroin before.
And now we're going to go to morphine.
Morphing this time. I think we're going to move on to Quaaludes for the last review. So, this is the latest rendition. I know that's been two movies before this, right? They're Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. By the way, I perused IMDb on the original movies. That title in Morphin, it's just the N. They go straight on that title. They don't actually say morphing.
Yeah.
They put Morphin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, cool. Morphin.
I mean, it was definitely more street.
Not even an apostrophe.
They were rollerblading in that movie. Like, it's like the 90s will never end.
And skydiving.
They did skydiving. That's right. There were a bunch of like thrill seekers.
Technically, he even surf dived.
I think they all had a death wish in that movie.
Snowboard dived. He had a snowboard.
Oh my God, they do it. Oh my God.
Tommy. Yeah. Tommy had the snowboard.
You're bringing it all back? Why are you doing it?
Ivanus.
And there was a sequel to that, which I remember even less.
Oh yeah.
Turbo.
I can't even remember that.
Turbo.
But I remember.
Right.
The Turbo,
just
right.
Because you say it again doesn't mean we'll get it.
Oh yeah, I remember a jungle now. There's a jungle in there, right?
No, that's still part one.
No, that's part two. They have to climb up this. Oh my God, I'm remembering part two now.
No.
Yeah, they do.
Is that part two?
Pretty no, sure. Part one was the jungle.
Cars.
Yeah, part one was the jungle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when they became the ninjas.
Don't they get like Humvees and shit?
They turn into ninjas.
Don't they get like Humvees and cars? Like regular.
That was Turbo.
That's Turbo.
Yeah. So there's no. Are you saying there's no jungle in Turbo also?
Maybe. No.
Probably. No, he knows. Luke knows. Luke memorizes the movies.
I watched Power Rangers for way too long.
Yeah, we have. So apparently we all grew up with it. Is it safe to say we have all seen the show, grew up with it, right? Ralph, you and I did. I remember us watching that
show. Yeah, I can't deny it. Yeah.
Before we met Luke, we were watching the show.
No, actually, yeah, I guess so.
I think so. At the old house. That's how long ago this was. I remember. So we were fans as kids. It did hook us in, so to speak. So we have some weight coming into this review. So Power Rangers, I chose it because it was slim pickings, guys. I don't know what to I really wasn't super interested in watching it, but also as a cultural remapping of our childhood, as something a part of our childhood, I thought it wasn't a bad idea either.
And he really didn't want to watch Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I know. I'd rather watch Power Rangers again than whatever that is. I just don't care. Anyway, Ralph, let's start with you this time. What did you think of this newest edition, remake, I guess, because it's starting from the beginning?
Overall, it's an okay movie.
Okay.
I do not love it, nor do I need to rewatch this movie.
Agreed.
But nonetheless, I think one viewing isn't bad. If you're a Power Rangers fan or anything, yes, watch it, get it over with. Look for the you know, all the little Easter eggs.
Oh yeah, there were some. Tommy and Kim were in the stands.
That's not an Easter egg. They're just fucking blatantly there.
Well, that's the one I got.
That was more of a cameo than an Easter egg.
It was a cameo. Yeah, exactly.
It was an Easter cameo.
Well, for example, like the shirt that Trini wears,
aren't we
the 1973,
oh, really?
Is the same year that the original actress Trini,
yeah,
who passed away, was born in. For example,
things of that nature. That's very specific.
That's
Jesus, Bob.
Right.
You're such a nerd.
Anyways.
You're such a Power Rangers nerd.
No, I just looked it up.
Yeah, okay.
That being said, I did like some aspects of this movie where they did the changes. For example, they used to be aliens from before. It's kind of like it involves the whole Power Rangers like storyline, not just the original Morphin Rangers or whatever that we're used to. Oscar, there's been a like
sure.
20 different renditions of Power Rangers, and they kind of got into their whole like weird thing. But yeah, these guys are, you know, they have an ability, or they had these powers, and they were aliens, and they managed to keep it away from everything, and then they resurrected and all that bullshit, right? I loved how Rita is technically the Green Ranger, and it sets up for the sequel, for example. That's great, and it makes more sense than just in the show, where she just had the thing and she can control the Green Ranger. At least she knows what it is to be a Power Ranger.
Oh, she really knew the show.
Yeah, well, I've also been rewatching it on Twitch.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you get to, there's a lot of cool things that they did, that they changed, that I thought worked out pretty decent. Yeah, but overall, like I said, it's okay.
Are you sure overall it's okay?
Yeah.
Luke?
What about me?
What? Motherfucker, what do you think of the movie?
I thought it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. It was like, I felt like a kid again.
Why?
Because it was good.
Why was it good? How was it good?
I don't know.
If if you fuck the girl, she's great. Love it. Sweating and hungry. You can't walk. Like,
it just felt like... Like, this was the movie for, like, the fans of the show. And not for some little wiener kids that don't know what a Power Ranger is. This was for us.
Oh, you don't think it was for kids? You think it was, like, the Veronica Mars kind of thing movie, right? Like, it's meant for Veronica Mars fans.
Yeah, except there's like more of us.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you. Unfortunately, more people should be watching Veronica Mars, or should have. But you're right, it is definitely a much more different audience.
Listen, a long time ago, we used to be friends. I just haven't thought of you lately at all.
No one's going to get that. 2% of the population. Although that was weirdly one of our most like downloaded episodes from the old show, Veronica Mars, the movie. Anyway, can we just? I need to watch the show again. That show's good.
It's good. It's one of the few shows I rewatched like multiple times.
You have the DVDs, don't you?
DVDs.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I know.
Yeah.
If they put it out on Blu-ray, I'll watch it.
We're not. We don't have to watch it. You're fine. You're in Singapore.
Ohio.
Ohio, Singapore.
We're just making shit up. So you think it's more of an for the people who saw the original Power Rangers? You think this is more for people like us?
Yes.
See, I think it's for just people who've seen the show in general, because there's been so many generations for it that I think they did a good job of combining what the Power Rangers ended up becoming.
How many different, like, it's like
there's
Pokemon,
like
we just saw
there's like 20.
350 and then we stopped? Yeah, they made like 1,000 more.
Yeah, it's like that.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right. I can see that.
I mean, they make it to the point where the Power Rangers, there's like a galactic police force.
I wasn't
like,
not
just a thing, but like fucking Green Lantern Corps. Like shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I never got into it, but I just know about it.
So this is like a few episodes strung together, which is the really the big intro. It's like their Marvel startup, right? This is their Doctor Strange in a way, starting a new character. From the beginning, how they started, got their powers. Very basic story going on in this movie. So none of that was really interesting to me, the way they did it. I mean, I liked how they streamlined some shit. I like how they kept to the main characters, like 90% of the time. That was very cool. There was very little bullshit. This is stuff I liked about the movie. This is there was very little bullshit going around them to like... to get them to either fail or, like, you know, waste time on something. Everything was like, you know, you get their introductions. It takes a long time for them to morph. But, like, I feel like the time they take to get there is important to realize and fully get to the point of them, you know, growing up as a team as opposed to these five misfits who don't know each other. I think that's, like, the best thing about this movie is that it gets that right. And even if the movie wasn't based on a previous adaptation of something or whatever, I would still be like saying that's a good part of the movie. Do you guys agree with what I'm saying? Like the movie takes its time to get. No, it takes a long time actually to get to.
Yeah, no,
get
that was actually what
believably in sync.
Yep, right? That's actually one of my favorite parts about the movie was because in the original show it was just like, hey, you got this power coin, go nuts, right? Whereas here it's like,
right.
No, you need to like me be a fucking team before you guys can, you know. Ride cool swords and shit.
Right, exactly. Ralph, do you agree with this?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally see. I totally see that.
But, I mean, it also, like, builds to anticipation. You're like, come on, like, fucking morph already. Like,
I can see a lot of people being frustrated by that, for sure.
Right, and I love how they I am a fucking fan, just how much I've been watching it on Twitch. Where, basically, Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger, is like the Blue Ranger in all the other Power Ranger movies, where he's like, because from the original,
the geek.
Well, it's not only the nerd.
Wasn't there an
geek.
Episode where he got a B in school and he got upset?
I think so. Yeah, that makes sense. No, but he's the one who like fits the image perfectly for it, for what the Power Ranger should be. He's like the most loyal. He's all that jazz.
That's why he was a wolf in the original.
Yeah.
Loyal.
Stuff like that. That's why he fits it perfectly for everything else. He may not be the leader, but he's always going to be the guy who, you know, values the what the Power Rangers are going to be. And, you know, he's going to be loyal
like
to the cause.
Like the moral compass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they fucking hit that shit completely wrong.
With a hammer. With a Zord? Zord
yeah.
hammer? Sorry. I'm terrible with these fucking neck names. Stuff. Anyway, do you agree with that, Luke? That he is like that point was hit home right or too much maybe, and that B that Billy is that moral compass and that they stuck true to that.
I don't know. I definitely see like why he was like a big point in the movie, but then they also kind of shifted it towards Jason, where it's like, you know, you're the leader, you're the one that has to get them together.
Right, but it should be that way because he is the leader.
Yeah.
He's a white guy who play football. Of course he's a leader.
And is troubled.
Oh, I know. Aren't they all troubled?
Oh, Jesus. Man.
And they're always
angsty
bringing
white
cows
people?
Everywhere.
I also felt like the trailer gave away too much. Like, the joke would have hit home way better. Or with the part where the Yellow Ranger, Trini, she says that, you know, she basically tells her parents what she did. And then she's like, pee in this cup. And I was like, oh, the trailer totally ruined this moment.
That scene was wrong. Do you guys remember that scene? Okay, so this is the only time we see her family, by the way. Trini is... We see the brothers later on, I guess. But
yeah.
She has a family. She says they're very normal. I don't see it. The mother is a fucking maniac.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like...
Be in the car.
Know,
be in
I don't
the car.
Care. That once... That introduction to that character is the worst. I thought they were like generally like oh, they must be... spoofing on something, or maybe this is like the whole movie is a heightened reality version of our world, but it's not. It's only this shitty character, one and maybe the two others, who like overreacts to everything in the world. Like the way she was reacting to her daughter, I'm like, what are you doing, and why are we watching this scene? I think I know that Trini needed a scene. She's a loner, right? The only one who doesn't have a connection, doesn't go to detention, right? Doesn't have a sick mother, for example. Like, I get that. She,
well, her thing was the sexuality.
Right, but that comes later, and that was good. That was neither a bad nor a nice surprise. It was like a nice little thing they dropped. It was nice, but. Like, I'm not saying they have to focus on that either, but I feel like if they have to spend some time away from these characters, we know while they figure out what they're doing in the beginning, right, in the first act, I think that there could have been better ways for her. I think showing her in her solitude or showing her what she would like in a world where she's moving around a lot and wants to maybe stay in one place forever. Like, I think they I don't know. Like, that's the one screw-up for me that I didn't really buy. Because the whole thing with Billy, I got, although I wish the mother was there more. The mother was just like some voice from Snoopy. Or
yeah, Tom.
I agree. It was like way weird. Like, why focus on this mother when clearly Billy's mother is much more important? She's like, but not important at all, really, because she's in the background. Like, I don't understand. It felt like, it was really weird. Wishy-washy. Like, the father for Jason was spending much more time on, of course. But obviously, Zach's mother was more important. She was the second parent shown more. Like, it was very strange. I'm not saying you have to show all the parents, but like try to focus a bit more on what you're actually wanting to show when they're alone, you know? I think they maybe screwed up a little bit on that timeline stuff. I don't know, for me. Maybe that's just my taste, but I feel like they could have done... I don't know, they could have just like zeroed in more on what they wanted to show, like what they their goals were as a movie, you know? You guys get what I'm saying? It just felt weird. It felt like a weird editing thing, assembly wrong, and what show, what not to show, why focus this on more than the other character when they're both partners, really, of a team.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I get what they're trying to do.
I know Jason is more protagonist. Sure. I get that, but...
I get what they're trying to do, where they're trying to show, like,
right.
You know, what's troubling them or what's in their lives or whatever. A glimpse. But yeah, I agree. Like, they do focus on the wrong things. That's where I'm saying
right.
there is a lot of problems with the movie.
Right. I think here's the worst problem, and I'm just gonna say it, and it's the action. It's so unimaginary, uninventive. It's really the most boring thing. The worst part about that whole action thing is this: this is an action martial arts type show, right?
Yes,
we don't see a whole lot of the martial arts. We see some of it. I did like the rock golem fighting in the beginning, and I like how they quickly realized that, hey, they're multiplying too much. We're not going to spend an extra 5 minutes making another action scene, so let's just move the fuck on. And that was good in a way that streamlines like actual practical fighting, right? But like, I would have preferred that longer than if I knew I was going to get this shittier big monster thing that I didn't think was really particularly good. I kept envisioning and hoping to see... Pacific Rim, which is way better.
Yeah, I agree.
I was like, Pacific Rim did 50 things better than this movie. And these beings in this movie have more agility than the robots in Pacific Rim, you know? I feel like, I think the whole setup was for this big action thing, like the action third act, and I think we were let down. And I like the setup, like I said, I like how they spent time for this team to realize they were a team and how they were going to morph and whatever science doohickeys they were doing, talking about, that made no sense to anything. But, like, I was buying into it up until they failed on that front. I don't know. What do you guys think? Is this, did you guys appreciate the action more than I did? Or do you guys love it? Wish it was better? More,
I mean,
longer? What?
It wasn't the cheesy action from the show. It was kind of more.
Right.
Well, they had a budget. A bigger budget, yeah.
But it was still fine. I had no issues with it. I think.
You like the gold monster? The gold work for you?
Goldar?
The softest metal on Earth?
Goldar?
Yeah, Goldar. Yeah, the softest, most useless metal to fight with. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, he was...
You like that?
Yeah, he was good.
All right. Rob?
No, I agree. I mean, I get it because in the original or whatever, they do one move. You're like, pull out the sword, slash, win.
Oh, and they always have the same... move, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
See, okay, and I know that someone would say, a Power Rangers fanatic who loved the movie might say, Oscar, what the fuck? I mean, they just, it's their first time in their Zords.
No.
Manual, didn't they practice? I mean, I know they didn't, and I know they literally waited to the last minute. I get that. But, like, then they should have failed spectacularly. Right? Stick to your something, you know?
Right.
Either fail spectacularly or fucking be cool and good, you know? Like,
yeah, there was lackluster, I would agree. What's another thing is none of these kids know how to do CPR. Just saying.
Right.
Billy drowns.
He dies.
They pull him out.
Oh my God, that's right.
And nobody does CPR.
Nobody. No, they carry him instead through more water.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
I was thinking that all the time. I'm like, are they ensuring he's dead? Is that what they're doing?
But my main thing is, like, he wasn't even in the water for that long. He probably would have lived.
No, it was a weird edit.
It was a weird edit, yeah.
Yeah, I would have been fine.
Basically, from that point on...
I would have been fine for three minutes.
There's a lot of problems with that. Yeah, and then there's also like the super cliched scene where Kimberly spills the hearts to Jason.
Oh, that was a bad scene.
And it was just bad.
It was bad.
If I had a watch, no. I would have looked at it and be like, is this scene over yet? Fuck, man.
You guys know, you remember the scene, Luke, what we're talking about?
The one where they're like, oh, let's run away together, that kind of bullshit?
No, not that one. It was, which was fine, oh, I guess. That seems okay. Okay. Like, that's very teenagers that want to run away. But
I think I know what you're talking about, how they can't morph because of her.
Right, she says that anyway. She starts spilling her guts on what she did wrong in school with the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Do you agree with Rolf, or do you like it more?
I kind of like that they kind of brought in like a real world issue, because I mean this is something that doesn't happen.
Oh, you mean like, was that, is that considered slut shaming? What was that, right?
Something like that, or like sharing or like revenge naked porn, pictures,
but with friends, right? Something like that, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely modern. The problems are more modern, right? Trump or Bernie, I don't know. So you liked it? I mean, because I think Rolf and I agree that A, the scene is too long, and B, like, it, another payoff that went nowhere. Like, really? That's what you're worried about?
Well, it was just
like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It was more like...
I guess I'm not a teenager
either. It
right?
went on too so, long, anymore. And then it was also just like... Dude, it's high school. You'll get over it.
Right, but they don't know that. But I also remember being in high school and being a teenager sure. and feeling like doing the worst thing on the planet. And actually, I did one or two horrible mistakes that I never get over. It cut to a year after high school. I'm already over it. I'm way over it.
Right.
And I don't remember what the problems were anymore.
Because high school's that. Life. And,
right. And I'm trying to see the movie's point of view of what they're trying to do. But I don't know if that's what they're doing on purpose. I think they accidentally stumbled onto it's a teenager's angst. With hard drama that really shouldn't be there. But I think we're putting that into something that didn't know it was doing it. Like, I think we're adding to the movie more than there is to it by saying that. Like, I know that they're teenagers, and I know the high school drama feels like the end of the world. But I don't know if the movie knows that, so instead has this whole thing about the slut-shaming picture or whatever she was doing be an actual horrible... And it is not a bad... It's not a cool thing either, by the way. It's not a good thing. But... Make it seem like it's horrible. Like, she killed a person. It made it seem like she killed a person. You know?
She killed their high school reputation, and that matters.
Right. That is what I'm saying, is that, like, what a letdown for me. And the way it was kind of filmed and staged didn't seem right. It wasn't treated right.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't treated very empathetically either. It was just there and long and never-ending. What?
Jason's family should not have trucks. They just flip them all the time.
Jesus, they flip all the trucks.
They just shouldn't.
You know, people flip tables. No. Jason's family, they flip trucks, son. All right. Let's see. What else you guys want to discuss here? You guys like the whole rock quarry thing? Like the whole, like Billy is not only the heart and soul, but is actually the original.
No, that
person?
Was so fucking lackluster.
Right.
I'm just going to go in mine here. My dad knew the perfect time to mine, like in this one area that no one ever hit ever again. And after 20 years of my dad being dead or whatever, like, what the fuck?
I think it's the power coins were calling to them to be there.
No.
Nope. I would have seen like a dream sequence before they did or something.
Because remember, personally. It's the power coins that choose the ranger.
Right. Also, like, aren't rangers protectors of forests and shit? Like, what are they doing in the city? Or in a, I think they're out of the jurisdiction.
They're
is my
protecting
point.
The earth.
Yeah, but what? They're forest of earth? There's not a lot of that left. So,
no, they're not forest. The no. That's a forest ranger. These are power rangers. They're pretty much above the forest
they
ranger.
They range in the power. They protect power, is what you're saying.
Yeah. They distribute it equally.
The worst part about this movie is that the way the remake was done, now that I think about it, and this is my first time thinking about it, so maybe it's not the worst thing if I actually process it properly, but I think right now is the worst thing, is that they should have never done with the teenager thing. I know that the original was all about teenagers, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Like, that's in the title, so you can't get out of that, really.
Sure.
But, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you don't have to have them teenagers. They can be older. They can be mid-20s. They have shitty entry jobs. Guess what? You got powers, bitch. Like,
yeah, but who's going to want to watch that?
Me!
You no, watch I mean, movies I'm just saying, like, that are recorded with the lens cap on, so, you know.
What? No.
Anyway,
I just think that it would have been more mature, because which is what they were trying to do in this movie. It is a more mature version, not still has a lot of cheese in it, but not like the show at all. Not even like the old movies either, because this is way more mature, I guess, or sleeker at least than those movies and shows. So they were trying for something. I think if you nix out the teenager thing, hence all the crazy unnecessary emotions and all the angst. You would have gotten a much tighter, probably a more realistic, kind of a cool depiction of, you know, adults, young adults, going through some shit, son. I think it would have been cool. Hey, that's me. I really do think.
Yeah, we gotta stop Peter Repulsa on Saturday. Oh, I can't. I have a shift. I've worked. I can't miss work that night.
Do I talk? My boss is a dick. I can't. Right. I need this job.
What did you guys think about the blatant product placement?
Of Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes, Krispy Kreme.
When Peter Repulsa was eating the Krispy Kreme, I actually was like, okay, that's charming. That's kind of, for me, I mean, it was totally stupid.
Sure.
It was charming. I saw, like, watching her eat one. that scene when and Zordon is explaining the whole Power Rangers bit and the rules to it, like, you can't use it for personal gain. Like, fuck. All the money. Like, that's the one rule, right?
Well, I mean, obviously, you wouldn't use it for personal gain because the power coin knows who to choose.
But also, like, if you work in construction, you can't use it for that? Like, what? So I can carry more 2x4s than you can, so what's the big deal, right?
Well, my truck could do that same thing, except I crashed it.
No, I was about to say that, but they're flipping them all over.
Here, I'll give you a good thing. What I liked what they did with Rita, for example, where she was a Green Ranger, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's an ex-Ranger. She fucking wins Haywire, Devil Witch, or whatever. And she gets to, what's it called? So they're setting up to the part where when she eventually makes another Green Ranger, it shows why she has complete control over her. And not just like, I have the Green Ranger's coin, so I have control over the person. Nah, it's like I used to be the Green Ranger. I know how they work. I know how this is.
Right, it's like she knows, it's like these kids just learn how to, like, solve one half of a Rubik's Cube, you know, I can make one solid color. She's like, knows how to fix every Rubik's Cube and with two hands and one in each hand and shit. Like, that's how good she is to the same tool that they're using. It's like, yeah, she's had it for a long
exactly,
time.
Exactly, exactly.
She knows all the ins and outs. She's like a hacker, and these guys are just seen hacking movies, you know?
Right. They've only seen hackers. So everything they know
the
is
worst
wrong.
Hacking movie. Yeah.
They're looking for payphones desperately.
I really like that. I really liked how they pay attention to some stuff really well or they spend it in a good way.
She was also casted well.
Yeah, I'm about to look at it because I always forget her name because she looks very generic to me. I know that. That's terrible to say. Elizabeth Banks. I was going to say, Maddie loved her, right?
Who?
Is that his actor?
No, the one is...
I was confused there.
Time Traveler's Wife Girl.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, these actresses look the same to me. Anyway, sorry, Luke, you're not even... understand what we're saying.
I know what you're talking about.
What did you think of Rita Repulsa and her image, stuff what Rafa's saying? But more importantly, like, I want to say, like, her image as a first villain, the first main villain, the way they hook the thing with the origin of the Power Rangers, did any of all that make A, sense to you, and B, did it work for you?
Oh, Rachel McAdams.
That's her. Rachel McAdams. Sorry.
It's not in this movie.
No, it's not, but her and Elizabeth Banks look the fucking same to me.
They actually do.
Even their fucking IMDb picture are the fucking same.
Okay. So with Rita Repulsa, honestly, that's the one thing I kind of didn't really like as much. Cause
of course, you would hate the thing that we like the most.
No.
Fucking kidding me?
It's her name. It's
Oh, her name is terrible.
They should have changed.
Now it's horrible.
Right.
They could have. And the 90s was still terrible.
They could have kept it Rita. They just not Repulsa.
Yeah. Yeah, like in the Creozonic or Jurassic era, did they have last names? No. You know, who cares about your surf father back then? I mean, it's not like they have this genealogy built. They're aliens. Call yourself whatever the fuck you want to be called. And also, why will her name be a common name here? Her name should be like Zordon-like.
Zordon-like.
Like, right?
Maybe they're abbreviated.
Her name is Ritaxka.
Yeah.
Maybe. You're right. I agree with you there, Luke. But that's the only thing that bugged you was the name?
No, I thought she was pretty decent.
Yeah. I like the effects, actually, of her, the manipulating. My favorite scene of hers is actually when she's going to the jewelry shop.
Yeah. Oh, and she's
like
melting
the best
it?
Thing ever. And she's like, yeah, she looks like a crazy homeless person.
She does.
And
she washed up on the harbor, like she wish she did.
Right, yeah. And I don't know why the saleswoman was letting her, like, put her finger in her mouth. It was really weird. It got weird before the cop came, but it was... But it was kind of interesting. I liked seeing Elizabeth Banks go crazy in a movie, which you could barely tell is her from all that makeup. Sometimes I could tell, some other times was harder for me. All right, I think that might be it on the Power Rangers, guys. I think we milked this male cow dry, if you remember that in the beginning. Anything else you guys want to say about this movie? Luke, start with
that. Best part was when they came out in those stores and they go Power Rangers theme played. It was like, I felt like a kid. It was the best.
That's right. I guess you got more nostalgically good over it as opposed to what was more negative for me.
I felt they did that part a little too early or too late. I don't know.
Just right.
But, nah.
The Goldilocks, Roth, is the Goldilocks. Just right. I got nothing else. It's an okay movie. I don't hate it either. I gave it 2.5 stars. Or 2, I don't remember. But in the middle, right down the middle. It's like half good, half bad. So, that's it for our review for Power Rangers. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will review the brand spanking brand new film, action sci-fi film, Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
The American live-action remake. Luke won't be available for that. So, Luke, you're going to give us your sign-off right now. Where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm going to be at Blind Noir.
Sweet. And you're going to come back to us in 2 weeks, right? You're going to be back here in Chicago by then, right?
Yes, I will. I'll be back home with high-speed internet.
Oh, faster internet. That's right. And don't forget the posers and the hipsters here. Don't forget them. Fuck. And the bums. There's a lot of them.
Asking for money all the time.
Oh, my God. All the money.
We just have a bunch of stoners.
Right. Well, the stoners I can get along with easier. Anyway, that's it. We'll come back in a few. Thank you, Luke. See you later. We interrupt Roth and I to discuss a little bit of bonus. Roth, what are our bonus episodes? Do you know what they are?
Bonus episodes?
Yeah, real quick for the audience.
Do you mean the one for this month?
I mean, we're pitching something. We're selling something here.
Oh, what is bonus episodes?
Yes.
Oh, bonus episodes are episodes of movies that came out in a month.
In that month
that we think we definitely want to review. I think that's the way we put it. Where it's a movie we're going to watch regardless. Or that really was interesting to us, and we try to make it an incentive to hold it over your face and be like, hey, you want this episode now? Like, or as soon as possible?
Right.
Give us money, you cheap prick.
I didn't say that, but yes.
Well, right. I mean, however
you
eloquently.
You are my enforcer. You can break the legs.
Exactly,
I'll do the pitch.
However eloquently you want to put it,
right.
I'll go ahead and break some legs.
Sweet. Yes, that's essentially what it is. And essentially, go on our website, otherpodcast.com, real quick. And every month we have a new episode for you guys. Any donation, any amount, you get that episode for free. Most likely via email. That's why I've been doing it, because we get very little of them, or very few donations. We are just starting. It's not a big deal. I really don't care if we don't get any for a year or two or three or seven. And I know we eventually will get there.
If we get to seven and I don't have a single donation.
Right, that's terrible.
And I'm personally going to go to whoever downloads these episodes, someone's house, and slap them.
I mean, it'd be nice to travel abroad, right?
Right, yeah.
Unless they're all from Chicago.
Exactly.
The kids just got to drive around.
Right. I know one for sure.
Right.
For sure is in Arizona.
It's not Luke, though.
Well, it's just a friend of ours. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so this month's bonus episode is T2, Trainspotting. It is a sequel, the 20-year-in-the-making sequel to Trainspotting, the awesome 1997 or 96. It's like right around there, exactly.
I think it's 97, yeah.
Amazing, drug-fueled kind of a comedy, but also brutal comedy on this life and these boys in Ireland. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm not saying Dublin, but somewhere around there. I suck at geography.
Edinburgh.
Thank you. See, now, yeah, this is where I have you. Anyway, so British. we actually saw a sequel already. If you donate any amount this month, this is the last show, you can actually take advantage of that. But it comes out literally the day before. It's too late. And we talked about it already. If you donate any amount on the website, otherpodcast.com, you will get that bonus episode. Otherwise, it'll come out to everyone, the mass public, five months down the road. Exactly 5 months.
August? No, a little bit past September.
I suck at math, about 5 months from now.
Sure.
And it'll come out, usually I've been putting out the shows, the bonus episodes that come out, release. I've been putting them on the 15th of, so the middle of the month.
Makes sense.
I figure, you know, it also makes me lazier.
Right.
So.
Sure.
So that's T2, Terminator 2. That'd be awesome. I mean, Terminator, fuck. Trainspotting, fucking title.
I let it go.
Shut up.
Just because that's the right T2.
Anyway, let's get on with our show.
I have to do a deep dive. I have to get inside her memory. Consent required for data download.
I give my consent.
in a future world of robotics, hacking. What the fuck did I write here?
How did you not read that? In a future world.
Okay, hold on. I'm not Luke. In a future... Okay, why would I do that?
In a world.
A future world of robotics hacking, memories inside metal, a cyborg agent, policewoman possibly, discovers a frightening revelation about her origin. This is Ghost in the Shell, the live-action American remake of the 1995 classic anime film that was redone and seemingly remade so many times, similar to Blade Runner.
There's different, yeah.
There's two other versions at least.
There's a remake, and there's like a remastered version for sure.
Right.
And there's a remake that I heard was horrendous.
Right. I almost saw it. I almost saw the version that's called Ghost in the Shell 2.0.
Yeah.
Because they're both available on Hulu.
That's the wrong one.
I saw the original on Hulu first.
Yes.
And then I almost saw a second one, but I'm like, I've had enough Ghost, because I don't want to get sick of the live action review. I didn't.
And then there's an anime also.
And then the show. And then it's based on a manga. Right.
Yeah.
Of course. Everything over there is based
on
a manga. So, obviously, this is the most obvious question when we do adaptations, is that what did you think of your source material? The film, of course. I don't think you read the manga, have you? Or?
No, I've never have.
But you've seen the original film?
I have seen the original film, and I've seen the anime as well.
I have not seen that.
Yeah. But the anime takes place after the movie.
I would hope so, because for those who remember, the animated feature ends on a big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, no, not a cliffhanger, but in a rebirthing kind of thing. Like, what's next?
Right.
Kind of like the end of The Matrix. Like, The Matrix, you know, Neo finds out he's the one. He kills Agent Smith, and he's like, I'm more powerful. What now? You know, and it's like that. The same way, almost. And by the way, if you hear a toddler in the background, because we're babysitting Leo, Ralph's son, for those who may be first-time viewers or listeners, yeah, put the mic to him. Yes, that's what he needs.
Okay.
More attention. Anyway, and he's in the background, like, watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, so he's playing with his kid.
Toys.
Yeah.
Be a kid. So we're babysitting him, so it's going to be a fun little soundtrack. Anyway, you were saying about the source materials.
Right. Like I said, I don't think I finished the anime. I started rewatching it, and more comical than I thought. than I remembered.
Yeah.
But it's not bad, and it's also kind of rough to watch. It's an older anime now. It's not like super fancy.
It's still, I had to come out after the movie, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, okay. It came out like in, I think 2003, maybe 2005. But it's still good. It's good. It's nothing bad. You can tell it's drawn, so that's what's really good about it. I like it. I mean, I liked it. Like, I didn't get to rewatch the movie. I have seen the movie.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was it? Do you remember?
Oh, man. It's been years.
Over 10?
Like, I would say, yeah, over 10.
Okay.
So, and I didn't remember a lot of it when I was watching the live action movie, but I did remember, like, enough. I knew the basically the heavy plots.
Mm. Okay.
The driving force in the beginning. So.
Okay. Well, I did see it recently.
Okay.
I also had been probably 15 years since I saw it before 2 days ago.
Wow.
And I remember I was a teenager then, 18. Fuck, I'm old. I think I was younger than that, because I think I was definitely in the middle, if not the beginning of high school when I saw it. And I was very much unappreciative of the movie. It's one of the very few at the time anime features that everyone hailed that I didn't like. It was one of the first ones, because I loved anime. I was discovering anime back then. You showed me a lot of anime. You got me into Naruto and One Piece and stuff. Anyway, but I had seen that one. And I'm like, Akira's way better, or, you know, even Heavy Metal's way better. And I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. I also don't remember nothing. And I saw it 2 days ago, and I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know what, and I'll agree with you with when I did watch it, my memory was, it was really confusing.
Some parts, it took me some Sudoku-esque levels of brain noodling to get around.
Okay.
And then not because, like, the movie's over my head. I definitely have seen more, I mean, Primer, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I've comprehended more complicated stuff. But for some reason, the way it's made, or the way the storytelling is structured, or I don't know what. And I was trying to look for that answer, but it was like basically my first viewing in a long time. So I really was just enjoying the movie. And I did enjoy it, but some of that stuff did require some noodling. So.
Sure. I mean, it's not as complicated as I feel like Akira is. Akira is heavy.
Akira.
Right. And you're like, if you miss a detail, you're fucked. Like, yeah. I feel that way anyways. And this one is a little bit more, way more lenient. But there is still that level of, I guess, just information that's still there.
Yeah, I was a little lost in the concept of having a ghost Right. And well, that whole right.
And the big thing is here, mm-hmm. ghost for us is, you know, a phantasm or something like that, right?
They mean soul.
They mean soul. Yeah. Right. So that's exactly the translation, and they say it in the movie also in the remake in this live action. They say soul yeah. ghost. And they drop the soul the whole time, and they just say ghost.
Right. Actually, they stopped saying ghost for a long time until that one scene with the partner.
Right, exactly.
When they mention it again, right, they're talking ghost now. Yeah, so you have to kind of know going in. I've forgotten that, so I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big Japanese lore, so yeah.
True. And obviously, it's their culture. We are not, I don't want to say skewering, but we'll talk about the review. I don't know what expectations you had about this movie, but essentially, this movie is very expensive. It looks very expensive. They got one of the biggest starlets working in Hollywood. Starlet, right? Star yeah. too, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Starlight.
Working it. And so, I mean, this could be Ender's Game. This could be, you know, that horrible Jack and the Beanstalk movie. Or this could be Avengers. Like, what is it to you, and what do you hope it will be? Basically telling me what did you think of the movie?
I'll go with my expectations first of what the movie was, what I thought was going to be. I just really hoped my expectations were it was going to be a comparable movie that I wasn't going to have too many complaints about. because I've seen a lot of enough adaptations of things that I like, and it's just like they go their own way or they don't go enough or whatever. And where it went with this, I actually really enjoyed it. I like the movie overall. There is problems, pacing problems and certain other things. Nothing gigantic, like Power Rangers, but I actually liked it. And the CGI was actually fucking great.
Spared no expense.
No,
as the doctor, or as John Hammond would say.
Right. Yeah. No, it was. Yeah, it was good. Like yeah. It was everywhere. And I kind of like the world, how it looked. It very bleak, very Seattle like. I put it because it just was raining all the time. But
I think they're more mimicking of the Blade Runner variety.
Dude, I felt I immediately went and I saw it with a friend and a brother of mine, not you, Oscar.
Of course.
And I immediately told him, I was like, this looks like Blade Runner, like without a doubt.
Well, it doesn't look like Blade Runner, but it looks like they're definitely inspired by them.
Right. It felt like the atmosphere everywhere was like Blade Runner-esque.
So when I thought that, I'm like, okay, not only do we have this now live-action remake of Ghost in the Shell, and it's reminding me of Blade Runner, but also this year we're going to see a Blade Runner sequel or remake? Sequel, right?
Is it a sequel?
It better be a sequel.
I think it's a remake.
No, I don't think it's a remake.
I'll find out.
Anyway, it really doesn't matter, but someone's yelling at their telephone right now, or their telephone, Jesus, who calls it that, their iPhone or whatever, their mobile, to correct me.
Sequel.
Sequel, that's what I fucking thought. Denis Villeneuve, I'm more excited for that one.
Right.
Anyway, so, my thoughts and impressions are this movie is better than Power Rangers.
Okay. Same boat.
Not just for the money, but also it did catch me better. It did it just has more interesting things to say, even if it was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It has more interesting things to say than Power Rangers does.
Agreed.
And we did not hate that movie. You guys liked it a bit more than I did, but I don't disagree with your points.
I liked it a smidge more, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So and I know a lot of people who are fans are loving the shit out of it. So like
they ain't saying that with their dollars.
No, they're not saying it. It's not making a lot of money.
No, it's not.
This movie it definitely has problems. And I think we'll get into some of those problems and life imitation art, imitating life again, kind of those problems. And besides those, though, I liked it a lot. The stuff that worked, really worked for me.
Yeah.
The stuff that didn't completely fail all the time, but it did. But, you know, they also did sour the film a little bit. And I think it feels like a setup movie, kind of.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I'm not saying 100%. Because the ending is not as a setup as the animated film.
No, but the ending is an iconic intro to to the show and to just in general. Like I think.
Well, I like how it ends with the first. Well, you may not remember this, but in the animated film, there's a scene when she drops off a rooftop, right? And kind of like in the beginning of the live action, but in this time, she's killing all these guys through a window, and one guy looks over the window, and she's disappearing, and she does the hand thing. Which is how this movie ends, the live action.
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of has that, nudge, to the original. So Seems like we're positive. I'm positive.
I'm positive overall.
I'm positive.
Overall, yes.
Should we get the? I mean, should we talk about the whitewashing?
How heavy do you think it is?
Well, I wouldn't have mentioned. I would not have mentioned it because I think it's been in the media already, and I think it's like it's done. Scarlett Johansson is the fucking star, right? It's too late.
Yeah, sure.
But they made a purposeful thing to mention Mokoto, which is the actual character in the original.
Yes.
Like basically that she did exist.
Right.
And that was the original body, the human body. That
right.
This brain
technically, that's her brain, technically.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Because the movie basically brought it up. Like, what do you think about that stuff?
Okay, I guess on the level of...
basically, was that respectful for you or was it dirty shaming?
No. On the level of yeah. just picking Scarlett Johansson in general, I have no problem with them trying to make money out of this movie. Not a problem at all if you're trying to get some big name actress.
Yeah, and especially, that works. Especially a lot of guys who watch just for movies.
Especially
right?
for here in the States, right?
That's true.
She's also kind of international now with the fact that she's got the Avengers stuff going
on. And to me, like this is almost like a spiritual, not a great sequel, mind you, but a spiritual successor to Under the Skin, where she plays like this robotic type alien, right?
I saw that also.
But that movie had a lot more meaning to her performance. I'll have a problem with, but yeah.
Sure. Overall, I do appreciate it. I kind of would have appreciated it better if the Japanese mom spoke Japanese. We had captions for the one guy. Why couldn't we have captions for her? Speaking Japanese, she obviously understands her robotic implants can translate for us, which is what we're doing, basically.
Which took me two scenes to realize that's what was happening. Yeah. Like, do they own all these languages? I think it's possible they do.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, no, it implants. Must be just like right, the
exactly,
doy.
Exactly.
Like, the doy.
Right.
I really appreciated how that. I stuck with Japanese actors. I'm sorry. And I know the actor, and he's been in many things. Their leader, the Section 9 leader. Who was badass?
Yeah, Takashi Kitano.
He's like, don't send rabbits to kill a fox,
right.
Bitch.
Yeah,
like he didn't
yeah.
say bitch, but he
might
said
as well.
It, right.
Yeah, his name is Takashi Kitano. Yeah.
Thank you. He's been in a lot of shit I've seen. Anyway, and like he only spoke Japanese in the movie.
Right. Exactly.
That was really cool.
And when the mom spoke English, I thought I was like, I kind of said, okay, that's fine for right now. If they go
She's
in,
first generation American.
If they go in, if they go in, please speak Japanese. And then they didn't, and I was like, yeah, all right, I guess. Kind of a letdown, but overall, yes, I did appreciate that they kept Makoto because that is who the person was at first. Because I was worried because they gave her a different name, and in the beginning of the movie, I've already forgot what it was, but they gave her a different name.
Right, she's credited as Major.
Well, yeah,
on IMDb, and she does say her full name once.
You're right,
but I'm like, I forgot it.
Or, yeah, exactly.
I forgot the second.
Well, yeah,
said
they
it.
Mentioned it once only, and you're just yeah. like, that's not the name.
Right.
But I immediately thought, I was like, that's really white. Like, that's not the name at all.
Right. Her name is Stephanie Joyce.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Right.
And then you go into Makoto, and she's like, okay, now I'm Major Makoto, whatever, which she changes her name back to what she was.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I did like that.
I did like it as well.
Okay. What's this thing? Now that we're in the scene about the mother, her real mother, technically, I guess,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's almost like one of those things, like what kind of, you want to be pansexual, transsexual, right? You know, we have that
sure.
clashing thing going on right now with, we don't know how identity works in sexuality or even race sometimes or genders. But like, it's like, this is taken to the next level. Like, if that's not your body, is that still your mother? Like, how does that work? You know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
The blood of my blood, where's the blood? You know? Like,
yeah. Right.
It's almost funny. Like, there should be, she's a new term.
Sure.
Brand new word meant for her.
Right, exactly.
Because she's the first of her
soul
kind.
Of my soul?
Soul of my soul. That's obviously, this is Game of Thrones referencing right here. Blood of my blood. You know, what's with this thing? This happens all the time in movies, and it's always been infuriating to me. And I don't know why I'm mentioning it this time around as opposed to the many times before. What's with this thing where people start making food or tea and no one fucking eats or drinks it?
I don't get
no
it.
One ever. Everyone has
by
to
the way,
be in a hurry.
By the way, very traditional way to make tea. That yes. is like the proper way to make tea also.
Oh, yeah, with the ceramic thing and everything.
Yeah, you heat it up in a tea kettle. You put yep. the water in the pot with all the tea. Is
oh, and that scene when the kettle called the pot black? That was weird. Sorry. That joke.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, you're right. Nice little detail thing out of nowhere.
Sure.
But what's with this fucking thing? She said yes to tea. You're being rude. Stay for tea.
Did she even drink anything? She's a robot.
All right. I'm sure she can.
I like how you just thought about that right
Fuck.
Now.
Yeah, I know.
Like in the one movie they can actually make an excuse over it.
And it might be mixing both movies here. I don't know if she... I'm sure she never drank or anything, but they never make explicit that she can't either.
That is true.
But I will say that in the original, there's this scene when she's with her partner, and they're talking about how they can process the alcohol, whatever makes them drunk. And like, so they can drink during the job, and then they can process it so fast that they're not actually drunk and they still can function. They have bodies. They consume things.
Yeah.
So I guess I confused both movies that way.
Yeah. No. Well, you're right, because the whole squad aren't as augmented as she is. She's completely augmented, where she just has her brain.
Right.
Compared to them, where one of them just got his liver replaced because he wants to be able to drink and process it more. And that's the part of the joke, exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Either way, my bad if I'm wrong, which I clearly am because she's all robot.
Yep.
Yeah, she belongs in AI. This is a Steven Spielberg world,
so,
too, by the way.
Let's get to something we didn't like in the movie.
Yes.
And I'm going to get to one of my scenes that I thought was kind of useless. And that's the scene where she hooks up with that, I guess, whore or hooker.
That street urchin?
Yeah. And she just wants feel her and, like, what do you feel? Like, and I get it. We're supposed to try to connect with the character. But I honestly think it went on too long. It literally showed us she picked her up. She took her back. She felt her up. And that, like, the whole thing was like,
she put the money on the counter.
She might as well have. Right. And then it ends with kind of just abruptly also. Like, what are you? That's it. Like, and I was like, wait, what? Like, that's...
For a second, I'm like, is this Under the Skin? Am I watching the Under the Skin sequel right now?
Right.
And because I felt like one of those scenes out of context.
And I was just like, it's just really weird. And I was like, it almost doesn't even fit in the end. And, like, you could almost take that out.
No, not almost. It really doesn't fit in the movie. Cool. I think it is some sort of weird attempt to humanize a character that's all robot. Cyborg.
But we've been getting that this whole time, where she's just disconnected. Her body movement is telling us that.
Here is a problem.
Yeah.
Is that if the ghost is in this fucking shell, right, guys? Come on. If there is that, and she believes to be, like, the whole point of the beginning of the movie, which they over-explain with words and then a voiceover, by the way, there's two explains right there. Fucking exposition dump. Like, after exposition dump, too. It's like two or three of them that I believed it. I didn't like any of them. Anyway.
I didn't mind the words.
So. Right, it's fine. But I'm saying they overdid it, like three paragraphs. It's like Gettysburg Address.
Okay, it wasn't that bad.
Jesus.
It was just twice it came up.
Just saying.
Right.
But... And then a voiceover. Okay, sorry. They're reading the manual. They do all that, and then they get into, if she has this ghost in the shell, the idea of the humanity, the intuition of a soldier. Right, that's what they're having in a robot, basically. Sure. The power of a robot and all these things, the fiberglass power, and as well as the human stuff, then she should be having emotion. Right? Yeah. That is the idea. This is why there's a connection between there's this crazy fan service connection between the original of the movie and the fans. This is why that movie is so revered, because it manages to marriage both of them. That's the crux of the manga, probably. I have not read it.
Yeah.
And the 1995 version of Ghost in the Shell, because the whole idea is that you're watching a completely synthetic robot that is fighting herself with the loneliness of it, with the fact that she is like this, and that she is, and she has a very particular strange case that's awakening her in a way that she never thought was possible.
Right.
Now, it doesn't really awaken her, but it awakens her a possibility that leads to that ending, which is very different from this movie that we reviewed today. But anyway, that's what made that movie awesome. It wasn't the, like, cool graphics I'm sure that's part of it, actually. And there's a lot of nudity, a lot of not like nudity in a bad way, like just straight up nudity. Like, she's a robot, she don't care kind of nudity.
Exactly.
It's not like she's fucking.
Right.
And I just think, like, they really missed the opportunity here to give Scarlett Johansson a chance to fucking act. And not even that, but even the robotic nature of her performance. Even that was off. Even that didn't fit with me. Like, even what they were trying to do, they didn't do it right for me, which is the worst. This is the worst mistake of the movie for me, because she's in every frame, or almost.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I get what they were trying to do, and I appreciate them for kind of going that route, where it's like, listen, I mean, I get it. You want her to feel robotic. And the way I saw it was that she's disconnected, right? She doesn't care for the body, and she's just going through the motions, right, so she's completely disconnected, she's introverted in herself, in her own mind, right? And then she just does the actions of whatever she needs to do in the body, but other than that, she doesn't really care about the body. And that's kind of what the movie's hinting at. And I get that she does these really huge robotic movements all the time. And it feels like...
Right. And the camouflage thing looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. Really cool. And then she does also
knocks
like...
Predator off.
Right. And then she also communicates very kind of like robotic distance for sure.
Right. I get that they have to want to imply distance, and the only scene that kind of convinced me of this performance that made sense to what they're actually trying to say about the character is when she's under the water.
There's two for me then, because it's under the water for sure,
right?
And it's the one where right before Bato lost, right when he lost his eyes, and she's getting refixed, and she's telling the guy like, "You could have got hurt. Like, I can't protect your mind." She's like, "Why not? Like, you're supposed to know everything about me. Like, I'm just computers to you. Like, I'm just a number."
Yeah, right? I would buy that, but she never sold me that she actually didn't care about her.
Right. Well, that's right. The thing. She was just like so distanced. There wasn't anything to sell.
I think those words said it, but I don't think her actions said
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Right? That is the thing. Right?
I guess I didn't see it enough.
Exactly. But that's what I say. Those two scenes would tell you, though, are the main ones. But, I think the missed opportunity for being able to act is definitely when she meets more her mom, right?
And her mom or her fucking lover.
Right, or her lover. And thank you. It's when she actually knows who the lover is towards the end, and she actually cares, and you would see her actually kind of becoming, you know, more human again and start acting more human. Yeah. But instead, she just, like, cries a little bit, and you're just like, that's it? Like, you didn't get that connection.
No, her eyes waters.
Right, okay.
That's it.
Whatever,
She was peeling onions.
Yeah,
dude.
No, and I agree. There should have been a connection where I don't mind if it was disconnected all movie, and then at the very end when she finally gets this connection again with the ex boyfriend or whatever, she makes, you know, she finally gets feeling back in because she finally is learning her past, and that would have made sense. That would have been perfect for me. But they didn't do that, and that is the disconnect. I agree with you there.
Yeah,
you didn't have to have it the whole movie. You just have to have it at certain points, and it felt like you still didn't have it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's like it feels like they realized they needed to do something about something way too late.
Right, exactly.
And it's too little for it. It feels like it's just another the most cynical version of me or this movie's worst critic would say another example of Hollywood remakes like completely emotion driving all the emotion out of a movie in excess for action and money or special effects. Like, and I would not entirely blame them for that because they're not entirely wrong. Now, what did we like about the movie, Ralph?
What did I like about the movie?
We're bashing like really big points.
I honestly think besides that whole thing, every other character is fucking perfect. Very close to perfect.
I think their motivations are really on point. Yeah, as far as they get, there's enough screen time.
I honestly think they are. And you see this Bato, right, who's this like complete wolf. And he knows who the alpha male is, which is Major. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for you at all times. You know, he's super loyal, super this. You know, like
I never doubted that he would like hunt her.
Right, exactly.
For example,
never.
I can see maybe people thinking that as part of a mystery thing.
Right.
And I don't think the original movie is coloring me on that because the way they show Bato.
Yeah, Bato.
Bato.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I'm going to fuck that up all day.
It's
I'm going to call him Bato, the wolf animated movie. I'm going to call him Bato now. Reference to something that kids ask your parents. I think that in the original movie, they went farther than that. They never even thought to even bring up his disloyalty. So this movie did bring that up.
Yeah.
But never actually made him disloyal.
And
which is good.
They also, if I remember
in the original
correctly,
movie, he just like was.
He already had the eyes in the original movie too, right?
Yeah, he started with the eyes.
So I like that. There's another thing about it. Like, they kind of show this thing where.
No, I actually like that. Yeah. The way he saves her. She saves him.
Exactly. And I'm saying I like that.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
I like the fact that we get to see that, you know, not his origin for the eyes thing, but it's just like. It's another reason why he really, you know, admires the Major. And not only that, but, like, will basically do anything for her.
And also, like, it feels like also, like, that soldier thing. Like, a cop thing, too. Like, they'll always back. They'll never rat on each other.
Right,
they'll never do, you know, they'll always have their back. Well,
and then they have a good connection. Like, like Shin Han, the actor who plays Han, go figure. He's the guy who has no augmentations. He's 100% pure. He's the guy with a big-ass magnum that gets attacked in the restaurant.
Yeah,
like that's their master or the head Japanese guy.
The fox.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like him. He has no augmentations at all, and that's true to the character as well. And he's like, he's a family man. He's like, and they kind of make fun of him. He's like, you have no augmentation. He's like, I don't need it. I have a big ass gun. Like, I'm good.
And old fashioned too.
And everybody else has augmentations in the group.
He's like Murtaugh.
Exactly. Everyone else has augmentations in the group.
Right.
They all have their own. They all fit fine. Maybe we didn't get too much into it, where like every character, mm-hmm. but we did get a glimpse of them. So
you know, I think they really missed an opportunity to really focus on Section 9. I agree. If they're going to remake something, and obviously for me, a remake is not a shot-for-shot thing. This is why I'm avoiding Beauty and the Beast, because all I keep hearing is this basically a full-on 100% remake to the original, and I have no interest in that.
Right, but they could have explained what Section 9 does. Like
a little better, yeah.
Dude, I would have taken, an extra sentence to say
policeman.
Section 9 does this
right
in the beginning of the movie.
Right, instead of all the other shit they put.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, my thing is that I don't want to really say and put, you know, make other people do like this is what you should have done better. But essentially, I'm going to do that right now by saying that my remake would have been a more focused into the chemistry of Section 9, because to me, like, everything happens and dies with them. Like, not only do they follow orders, and seemingly from like two rivaling factions, like one from the Prime Minister, which is their actual order maker. Their leader, so to speak, commander in chief, and they have this company that's actually providing all the equipment for them, but they're not really beholden to them. But maybe that could be an interesting duality to fight with. Yeah. Now they had an awesome Section 9 leader that convinced me enough not to ever worry about this section, because I never worried about him betraying our lead actress.
Right.
Same thing with the partner. Yeah. And I think it would have been awesome to see like a real like bond between these people, like brothers in arms type deal.
Yeah. And I think they're kind of setting it up. I think that they left it for a setup.
Right, which is where the ending is basically she becomes Super Cop.
Right.
She's exactly. Jackie Chan, Super Cop 2.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. That's what they set it up for. And I get it. It's not a big deal. I don't have a big problem with it.
It's completely different from the original. Like, the original is talking about, like, bending the fourth dimension.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
It's not as brainy.
Yeah.
Like, for those maybe who need a refresher, maybe, like, the movie ends with she merges with...
She does merge with the guy, right?
Yeah, she's a new person.
Yeah.
She's like Brundlefly.
Right.
Like, she's not Seth Brundle or the Fly. She's a mixture of both, literally. Yeah. They mind meld. They Vulcan mind meld. I'm combining a lot of references here to be a different thing.
Any reference I can throw at people. Anything.
Are you listening yet, folks?
Guys.
Anyway. What?
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
She's a Reese's Pieces. Pieces is what I prefer. She's a Reese's Buttercup of race. She's a new one. Yeah, that's the whole point. And then you can see her, like, you can see a wild future. You don't know what the next movie is. Is she a new ambassador for a new species that she's going to create more? Is she going to rule the world? Is she going to destroy things? Is she not? Is she going to be, like, it's going to be amazing. She's going to spout philosophy, maybe? World peace? We have no idea.
Right.
This movie ends with, like, she's Super Cop. So if there's a part 2, you're gonna be like, there's a lot of action, guys. You know,
Super Cop in action,
but with
hopefully more
stronger
emotion.
Mind.
Yeah. Right?
Hopefully with more emotion. Yeah.
What did you think of the battle with that big ass mech?
Also in the movie, by the way, a lot of they cover a lot of things. We're gonna talk about that as a problem soon. I think this bad guy sucks.
He does.
He should have let his technicians do it. Okay, look. He had two chances to kill Major.
Yeah.
One, the worst one, the first time, was when...
I'm going to let you kill her.
No, when he kills the doctor, they kept pronouncing the name different than it was spelled. Like, Kuter? Like, nope. They were saying it differently. And I suck with French names, guys. I'm better with Japanese names, and I suck with those, too. So, anyway... fucking Juliette Binoche, the fucking amazing international actress. Juliette Binoche, right? That scene. You know what I'm talking about?
Dr. Ulay.
Ulay. Okay. Anyway. She is supposed to kill, right?
ScarJo. Yeah. With this clear red vial that has a skull
evil,
and crossbones.
Right. Evil vial.
Poisoned.
Yeah. Not at all subtle. anyway, and she doesn't, of course. This is her redemption arc. And she has a nice arc. I wish they spent more time on her. Sure. She has a nice arc. Like, enough of a nice arc. I got so much out of her little performance that, like, I knew exactly. She was seeking to right or wrong.
Most of our emotions come from her
in
this movie.
She was trying to right or wrong. And like, she did before she died.
Exactly.
That's her arc, right?
Exactly.
Anyway, she doesn't do it. And then the guy is about to head out the door with his gun, the leader of this Hanka group, yeah. And to go kill Scarjo, right? Major, sorry. And he's stuck in the room. She gets out, manages to fight her way out, and escapes, right? And then the third act begins, right? And then what does he do right after that? He shoots the doctor through the glass. Why didn't you just shoot Major through the glass? I thought it was bulletproof. I'm like, that's why he was going out the door. Why go out the door? You can shoot her right now.
I know she had already left, though.
No. While she was with, like, he had like a minute.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I get it. He did have
because he was trying to get out when she was still in there.
Yeah. I thought it was bulletproof, also.
And then she shot, yeah, and that was a stupid. That was a very stupid cinematic move. Nobody realized what they were doing.
Right. I mean, it would have been better for him to just walk in the door.
Maybe cinematically, it makes more sense than for him to walk around and kill the doctor. It would have been just as good
if we saw him leave, her get up through the thing. You just leave the shot there, and you see her get killed. You know he did it. That's it. Like, you know he went around and shot her.
Right. Yeah.
It would have been easy. You don't even have to fucking move the camera.
Right. Yeah. And the second time, of course, he has what's the bad guy's name, so to speak, the guy from Boardwalk Empire,
Cutter.
Thank you. Yeah. No, Cutter was the bad guy. Who was the bad guy in the beginning, good guy at the end?
Bad guy in the beginning, good guy in the end.
I just call him James Darmody because that's his character's name in Boardwalk Empire. Because that's all I know him from. And Hannibal, I guess, season two or three. Three.
They call him Kuze or Kuz.
Yeah.
As Carmen Pitt, Michael Pitt.
Michael Pitt, that's his name.
Yeah.
Anyway, the cyborg, the bad guy.
Yeah.
He has him. Dead to rights. Right?
Yeah.
Instead of shooting first. No. Okay. We've established that her fucking assault rifle ain't doing that much damage on this tank, okay?
Yeah.
She's clearly doing it to distract him. He falls for it two times before he actually has the guns right on his motherfucking face. Right there, Roth. And instead of shooting him first before turning around to her distraction again and then shooting her again, he doesn't shoot. He doesn't kill the obvious prey right there. And even when he gets another chance, he brings out some claw to do it for him? You have a... What?
Yeah.
Why? Right, Leo? He's staring at me. I think he's angry or just scared that I'm angry.
I agree. What? I agree.
How was this blocked? How was this scene staged? Realistically or practically? There's no real logical in this thing at all.
The only thing I can say that it gets away with it for whatever is the fact that it's like it's an emotional person who's not trained for this thing and he's just acting on emotions or he's just reacting to things.
Way to add. Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying. I get it. Right.
And you're right. He is incompetent. He's shown already to have been incompetent. But you know what that means, though? Even if we are to believe that he would make that really awful tactical mistake that no real tactician would do.
Sure.
We knew that already going in, so there was no stakes for us ever.
Yes.
There's no stakes. The danger is not real. Because even when they actually get the sniper shot, take the shot, they shoot the guy that's already been, you know, it's already in cyberspace.
Right.
Like, he's safe. Like, what the fuck? It annoyed me.
Yeah.
The way it was staged, no actual work was done to save themselves.
Agreed.
Or whatever. Everything was very last minute and for no reason.
Yeah.
It was a reversal, though. In the original, the tank grabs her. And she's basically almost completely destroyed in that scene before, you know, he... Because it's Kazuo's tank.
Before they mind melt, yeah.
It's their tank. It says tank. It's not someone.
Yeah. That's what I remember.
Right. Yeah. I'm just putting that out there. But yeah, it's a nice reversal. A nice idea, but it wasn't very good.
Executed properly. Yeah.
No, it was not. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the stuff that...
I thought the mech looked cool, though.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Although it was like a drone, a ground drone, because no one's in it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But that's how all of them are.
Yeah, that's true. Except for the helicopter.
Well, the helicopter was a
helicopter. It was a helicopter plane, though. You saw it.
Yeah.
Like, flap his wings like an eagle. That was kind of cool. Some of the stuff that aped. So one of the biggest scenes in the original, too, because this is part of the beginning, the first chase through the many grungy streets of Tokyo, I guess, in the original. Are they in Tokyo in this one?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, okay. The water scene, right? The way it's staged in this movie, the guy is clearly running away in an invisible suit thing, trying to run away from his pursuers, right?
Yeah, then his
and then
ship
he
accent.
Heads to open land where he's easily seen and caught. In the original, it's more like an accident. and he is doing it to stand his final ground. And this one, he's literally standing in the middle, just looking waiting. Around. Got away. No. Like, no, he's acting like this is the scene we're aping from the original. And it was a downbeat for me. It took me out a little bit because I was thinking, like, why run or hide? What are you doing? The opposite of both things. Freddy Krueger would have killed you by now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't run, but you can't hide.
Right, right, right.
Bitch.
Wait, what if we can't hide?
Right, what if... Yeah, he's getting tired now. He's going home. so it was ridiculous. But that scene was cool regardless. Her moving around invisibly.
Sure.
That was cool.
No, yeah. All in all, the invisibility works great in this movie.
Yeah.
Even the random little suit that the guy had or whatever.
I really like the kabuki, the geisha bots.
The geishas look fucking freaky.
They look freaky.
When they open their faces up or whatever.
They're like cyborg lickers from Resident Evil.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I did like overall the beginning because they're showing the manufacturing floor of the Makoto. Mokota.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I also like that they kind of give you very little small hints of world building where it's just like, right. He's like, everybody augments, right? And they're like, yeah, you're right. Even the African tribal guys were like, yeah, of course we augment, right?
Yeah.
He's like, but...
We still have AIDS.
Right. That's terrible. He's like, no, but he's like, we augment, but we know there's limits to what we can and can't, what we should and shouldn't do.
He even mentioned something about Soa at that point.
He does.
Yeah. And then he dies. Yeah. Or... Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't die.
No, he doesn't die, right? No. Okay, I wasn't sure, because then not all of them die.
No.
But a lot of people get shot, so. So anything else you want to say about this movie? I mean, mechanics, I like the world building, too. I like how the on the floor, they had the line,
yeah.
Street lines, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of cool. It just glowed and everything. Like, everything looks expensive, but I'm sure, but everything looks worn down, too, enough.
Yeah. I really appreciate it, because this is a big thing in the movie and in the anime. Where it's they're telepathically communicating, or not telepathically, but networkly communicating.
Oh my god, that was so cool!
And that one part where she gets locked in a room where it's like a Faraday cage kind of thing,
right.
Where nothing comes in. Right. That was a really cool scene because it makes sense to like I can't communicate, I can't give a signal, so right. I have to fight my way out of here. And you know, a stun baton basically fucks her up completely.
You know that one scene when she's before she is quote unquote captured. Although that scene was weird. Here's a bad editing style here. The scene when she is trading sides. She's no longer looking for this guy to kill and capture. She is going more on his side, or at least seeing his perspective. This is the scene where she sees the actor, right?
Yeah.
Before that, she gets caught, right? By all these guys and weird flashy electron batons, right?
Maybe yes.
I was like thinking, like, you can totally get out of this. I've seen you do better. Now, just because it's dark, I mean, your eyes are just as good as your partner's, right? I don't see how you can't get out of this.
Right.
And I was thinking the whole time, like, fucking Black Widow could get out of this. She's human.
Right.
That's your character.
She's human, yeah.
Right. I was thinking that, A. And then, B, it cuts right from there to her waking up and being downloaded or being into the network, right, or whatever. And they have that whole scene, all expository. And then, apparently, no time has elapsed at all. It's actually, they're in the same mission still. It took them that long to find her or to go in the sound. What the fuck? I thought it was the next day.
I thought so too. Yeah, it was
like,
a weird
editing thing happened there. It was really weird. It was not very,
I agree 100%. Yeah.
It was,
it's like they took her all the way to the top floor and, like, we missed this scene where they're fighting grunts all along the next, like, five levels or something.
Right. Right. Or not even. I felt like the next room on that
floor. I mean, it really did feel like it was just, like, one floor up.
Right. And but, he had all this time to talk to her and...
Right. It was just really weird.
Be a villain. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else on this movie? We talked about
it. Like I said, I really hope it does well in the theaters, box office-wise, makes some good money, because it is a good movie. Cinematically, a great movie. Looks fucking... beautiful. There's a lot of really cool action scenes as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot for the layman, right?
Yeah.
The story is, for the most part, okay. But, like I said, it's still a fun ride. And I that's why I enjoyed it overall. I still had fun watching it. I didn't look at my phone, for example. That's a sign of a good movie.
Yeah, me too. It was like definitely like at least 40 minutes longer than the original. And the original was like a tight 88 or something like that.
Yeah.
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 Which also, as an anime, not to say that it's bad or anything, but they don't need to show the money on screen either, so
right, exactly.
I guess I have a little easier is my point. Before, so that's it for right, is that it for you?
Yeah,
okay, that's it for me.
That is it
for Ghost in the Shell. Before we do our exit here, I want to introduce this thing last time, but I forgot. I want to introduce this thing where we, because I really feel bad that we don't get to talk about more animated features during this marathon of ours. So at the end now here, I wanted us to talk about maybe one, I don't know if you have one on the top of your head, but we've been lucky this episode where we've been referencing and mentioning other animated movies. We talked about, with Coraline, we talked about Nightmare Before Christmas with that. We talked about Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah.
Already, and we talked about how they can reference episode 3 of our own podcast here when we reviewed that one, and the original Ghost in the Shell. We talked about that, so I feel like this is more animated heavy than even we thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, I would say so.
So I don't have a whole lot to recommend, but in light of last episode, you know, we did The Girl Who Left Through Time. The director of that is I'm not going to mention his name. I'm just going to mention.
I don't want to butcher this thing.
I'm going to mention a movie he did called Summer Wars, which I very much agree and I recommend everyone to watch. Have you seen this one, Lev?
Yes, I have.
A student tries to fix a problem he accidentally caused in Oz, O-Z, a digital world, while pretending to be the fiancé of his friend at her grandmother's 90th birthday. I know that sounds really weird, but it's a perfect way to establish how this movie establishes a great human connection with this family that they're in, and the world of this internet world that has, you know, in a near future setting, where it feels like anything is possible, and you find out there is magic through the possibility of technology. And the movie plays with both those things. Really cool. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't remember all the details. But if you're into, like, really conceptually tight and kind of original, really original and very game-friendly, like, gamers will love this movie. Movie. Summer Wars. It's really original in all those things, and I highly recommend it. And if you like The Girl Who Left Through Time, you'll love this one, too. Would you recommend that one?
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Did you want to recommend something else before we move on?
Well, if you're into this kind of like Ghost in the Shell thing, there's a movie that it falls very close in line with it. It's called Appleseed.
Never seen that one, actually.
So, like, it's... Yeah, you should watch it. I own the movie. I own the DVD.
I think I have.
Yeah. It's a little different where they're already established with, like, you know, like, they're like in a utopia. That's basically the difference in here. Their utopia that has all these amazing Macs, all these amazing everything, like technology galore, and there's the main character or whatever still has like is a cop person or whatever, kind of just like here in a Ghost in the Shell, and she's kind of like, you know, the key to the big thing also, that gets help from, you know, her squad mates and stuff like that, and it gets more into it. I don't want to get too far into it, but it's kind of along the lines of Ghost in the Shell. It is different, obviously, but it is in that realm-ish also. A lot of Mac stuff going on. And then a lot of also, like, just in that future possibility kind of thing where, like, you know, we screwed ourselves over. We built a utopia, obviously, and we're trying to, like, you know, fix ourselves or whatever.
Your utopia is now a fruitopia.
Exactly.
Okay. I do want to see that. I never had a big hard-on to watch it. Maybe that's why I never saw it. But I remember it was available around me a lot. Maybe I'll seek it out. So those are our anime marathon recommendations. Check out our website, otherpodcast.com, for all the marathon updates and all the rest of the movies we'll be covering here. That is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Remember, feedback is always on podmoviecast@gmail.com. Podmoviecast is also our Twitter handle. You can follow me personally, Oscar, on Twitter at Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N, Ralph.
You can follow me on Twitter at Gamer Ralph with 2 R's and an F.
You can also follow my movie watching habits on Letterboxd under the same name, as well as I host or co-host or briefly co-host, really I just produce, another show called SOS-Radio, which you can find at sos-radio.com. We're actually getting bigger, you know, every month. We have thousands of listeners right now on that show, and that's a supernatural current study, so we cover all supernatural stuff. It's really a lot of fun. If you are interested at all into that kind of stuff, we are very... very friendly on it. Like, we describe and we talk about everything in the most clearest terms, so you don't have to be, like, really into it to only understand us. Anyone can understand us. Do you want to pitch your thing that you do?
Oh, yeah, I guess I can. I've been really slacking. But if you ever want to watch me stream, I'm on Twitch at SueTrauma. You figure out how to spell it. That's not my fucking problem.
He just loves saying that, folks. He really...
I really do.
Yeah.
But what you can do, and you can always help us, by tell your friends to amp it up and listen to our podcast.
Nice. Amp it up. That's right. Leave us a review. That would be also kind of cool.
I mean, listen, if you don't want to leave the review because you're a lazy
prick, right, we want stars.
Right. You don't want to read the review. That's fine. I don't mind you not writing a review. but don't, because you're lazy. You don't want to, you text all day, but you can't write a review. I get it. But
look, we're not the Godfather podcast, but we're at least Back to the Future podcast. We're fun, right?
For sure, for sure.
Come on.
You, what you, at least one of the three. Anyways, you definitely want to tell somebody that you think would enjoy this, you know, and tell them, hey, I listen to this podcast. You should too. And they ask you, what's a podcast? You slap them in the face and you walk away.
It's Time Release Radio.
Right, exactly. There you go. That's it.
Right on. Remember, we are a biweekly show. We'll come out next two Fridays from now, obviously. Next next time on April 14th is our next show comes out. We're going to be, obviously, marathon. We're going to do two movies at that show. We're going to do
the Two marathon movies.
Two marathon movies, sorry. Okay. The Jungle Book, the animated, of course, not the one that came out last year, and The Black Cauldron. So two Disney movies. The only two Disney movies around our marathon, I think those are Roth's picks. And we're going to review both as a double header, and we'll recommend more Disney stuff too. I think we'll go with the theme of recommendations.
Yeah, like better movies like The Lion King and stuff. Yeah.
Right. No, not the ones everyone knows, but we'll try for something.
I'm kidding.
I'll figure something out.
There's this gigantic hype for Jungle Book, for sure.
For you or?
Everybody's like, you've never seen The Jungle Book. And I was
that's
like,
right. Well, I want you, I can't wait for your thoughts on The Black Cauldron.
I've seen it. I just don't remember it.
I barely remember that movie. So yeah. For me, it's basically the first time too. But cool. I remember liking it a lot.
Yeah.
So, and for a new release movie review, we're going to be doing Fate of the Furious. We can't not review that movie.
Guys, what we really are doing is just watching the trailer twice, and we know exactly what happens.
Well, the trailer does fucking spoil everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a missile being guided with ice.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So that's next time in 2 weeks. Until then, I am Oscar.
And Ralph.
See you later.